Music can mean only one thing. It's Wednesday.
It's off-topic time, Carl.
Time for off-topic.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, you sound very lean.
Yes,
is it my imagination?
Everyone I talked to on the phone told me that, Carl.
Yeah, is it my imagination? You sound extremely lean.
My vocal cords are leaning out quite well.
There you go.
Yeah, they're 6.5% body fat.
Is that what you are right now, you think?
I don't know. Who knows with that kind of thing? I'm probably higher than that.
Yeah. You know, it's really amazing how people are usually much higher in body fat than they think they are. You'll hear people say, well, I'm around 10%. And when you actually see them, you think, nah.
See, you know, Carl, I thought that I was around 10 or 12% when I was fat. And apparently not, or I would never be this light, I imagine.
Right. Right.
You know, it's funny because I don't hold fat in the traditional places when I'm fat. So you could still see my abs, but I was still probably close to 15% body fat.
Right. Right.
You know, everybody holds it in different spots. You know, I think I held it more on my lower back.
Kim Kardashian holds it in her ass.
Yes, I definitely don't hold it in my ass.
Kim Kardashian has an amazing ass, just in case anyone hasn't noticed.
I don't think so. I'm not into her ass.
I think that, oh my God, are you joking? That big, oh my God.
I don't like that. I think it's too much blubber.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. No, that's not for me, man. If me and you went out to get chicks together, we would have no problem.
Yeah,
you
we would
like
never
dimples.
Fight over
you
the
like dimples all over.
Yeah, we would never fight over the same girl. Exactly. I do like cellulite. I do like it. I
think you like good. Cellulite, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, in a way, I wish I liked cellulite because that really has to help. You know, as far as like your dating pool, it's like wide open. There's cellulite everywhere.
That's only true until the girl knows you like cellulite, and then she has like the upper hand. She's like, "Oh, so you like this shit, huh?"
So then she tries to add more.
Yeah, no. Then she's like, she acts like, you know, she's not going to give
it
up.
She's hot.
Yeah,
she's hot. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And the truth is, I just have a fucked up point of view. That's all.
Yeah, but that it definitely benefits you though. That you go out to a bar and you see like 50 hot girls, and I go out to a bar, the same bar, and I see 2 hot girls.
I'm like Shallow Hal, but before, Anthony Robbins spoke to him.
After Anthony Roberts spoke to me.
Robbins. Yeah, I guess after, but I still see the fat and I still like it. That's all.
Ah, so you're like a strange mixture of before and after.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, as long as you're happy, Carl, I'm happy.
I'm actually happy lately. I've been in a pretty good mood for the past couple
of
weeks.
Do you think that's because of your nighttime ritual?
It could be. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. Every now and then, right before bed, I blaze a little, and I sleep.
Prescription.
Yes, from San Diego. Right. Right. Medical marijuana card.
How was your trip?
It was awesome.
You got weed. Is that why you went there?
No, I went there to hang out with my son. My son is so fucking cool. It's unbelievable. I'm just so proud of him, and I just.
And the crazy thing is, when we started this show, Carl, you were going through some drama with your son. You and him weren't even talking.
Yes, because I hit him. And his mother called the cops on me. You know, in retrospect, when I think about that whole event, I realize that the cops did not have to be involved at all.
No, of course. Does your son hold that against you at all? Do you ever talk about that issue?
We have, yeah. We've talked about it.
Did he still harboring any feelings?
No. As a matter of fact, I actually, when I was still living in Louisville, and I was getting ready to, like, run out of town because my ex kept, like, trying to have me arrested for being 850 feet from the house instead of 1,000 feet from the house and all this other bullshit that I was going through. I actually started crying one day because I knew I had to leave town, and I hugged him and I said, I'm so sorry for what I did. And he goes, Dad, he goes, that was just one thing. He goes, you've done so many great things for me. And I looked at him and I said, thank you. You know, that was it. I just said, thank you. Because he let me off the hook.
Well, he's right though. I mean, he was right. You've done, you continue to do good things, sir.
Yeah, we had a great time. I took my son to Los Angeles to visit friends of mine that I know from like when I was a teenager living in Queens. They have my good friend Giovanni has a restaurant in Malibu right on PCH. We hung out there and it was just great. I mean, there were people coming in and people I haven't seen in years, and my son got to meet them, and my son got to see me in a different light, I think. He saw me with people who know me for decades. I mean, my friend Sal knows me for damn, 40 years. And so, he even said when we were driving back to LA, he said, he goes, I see you differently now. I says, what do you mean? He goes, well, a lot of the stories that you guys were telling about old times and stuff like that.
Does your son listen to the show?
No, not this show. No.
Would you prefer that he didn't?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting.
Because there's things that we talk about on the show that I don't need my son listening to.
He's an adult.
I know, but he's an adult, but there's, you know, certain aspects of my dialogue.
You don't want him to hear about the anal stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, my son is an ass man. So
so then what don't you want him to hear? I don't understand.
He's a chip off the old block. I mean, I was amazed that he commented to me about something about, you know, women with fat asses. And I was like, maybe it's genetic.
So what don't you want him to hear? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. There's some things that are embarrassing to me that we talk about on the show. I don't know. I don't know that there's not anything that I don't want him to hear. I don't ask him to tune in. That's all.
Okay. I think he would probably like it, I would imagine.
I may have him listen to this show and ask him his opinion. But yeah, San Diego was great. Had a great time. Hung out with him. He's training now. He's getting to the gym. I got him a gym membership, 24-hour fitness in downtown San Diego. He's getting to the gym regularly now. He's really into it. He's eating right. I mean, and you know what? When I lived in Louisville, early on, I became like a zealot. So maybe it was difficult for people around me to see me so driven by exercise and supplements and eating right. But
people that I have met have that knew you when you first got into this told me that you were very nutty about it.
Yeah, I was. I mean, yeah. But you know how nutty I was? I mean, I go, yeah, I was. I was nutty like a bodybuilder. I mean, I ate 5 to 6 times a day. You know, grilled chicken and vegetables or yams. I mean, I carried a jug of water with me. I took supplements. That was what made me nutty.
I don't think they're referring to that. I think because the person who told me about this is into bodybuilding. I think that what he was referring to is the things that you would talk about, you know, like the things that you were so, into it, you know?
Right.
Like all the health stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still there. I'm still there. I mean, but now
I
do it on the radio.
I'm not going to say who it is, but you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. All right.
He used to think when me and you first started the show that I was horrible. Do you remember now or no?
Anthony?
No.
Oh, okay.
Maybe,
no.
Did Anthony think I was horrible?
No,
too?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of who you and I both know.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. I don't know if he wants his name mentioned. Okay. I mean, he's a fan of the show.
Okay.
Now, he thinks I'm fantastic now. But,
there you go. That's the important thing. It's not how you start the game, it's how you finish the game.
That's true.
So I hear there's like critiquing going on about your physique right now, right?
Let me first let's talk about that now and we'll get to the – because I want to say that I am broadcasting from the new house.
Oh, that's right. Is the girl there watching you broadcast?
Yes, she's right here.
Does she realize what a celebrity you are now?
How lucky she is to have me
at
her house.
Yeah.
No. I think she probably has some idea of what I mean, she's Googled me and stuff. I told her, you know, because it's a weird thing, letting somebody into your house. You know, I didn't even realize how weird it could be until I got here. You know, I think, you know, if I were her, I would have thoroughly researched me, you know.
She didn't?
No, she did. I mean, she did a background check on me and everything.
Cool.
And Googled me and checked my Facebook stuff. But, you know, I think it's reassuring to know that, you know, I guess you could say I'm a public person, right?
Right.
So it's not like, you know, I could steal her jewelry and run away with it. She'd never see from me or hear from me again, you know?
Right. She'd know how to get in touch with you, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Well, she's met my parents too, so.
Right.
But, yeah, so it's I'm here at the new house, and I put some pictures of it up on Facebook. If you're interested in seeing how I'm rolling over here. And it's pretty nice. You know, I've only stayed one night, and this is the first show from here, and I think it's going to work out just fine.
And it sounds like you have a good internet connection.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Am I echoing, Carl?
No, not at all.
Echo.
No.
How did you do it last one? Am I?
Remember that? That was funny. I don't think I could do that again.
You did it good. Everybody thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But they are critiquing me, Carl, on Get Big.
What are they saying about you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when I post a picture, Carl, a progress picture on Facebook, I inadvertently have – not inadvertently because I really don't have a problem accepting these get big guys, get biggers right. onto my Facebook friends list. You know, I have no problem. They're fans of the show or
right.
they're at least they're interested in me. But you know, when I accept them, now they can see all my pictures.
Right.
So when I post a progress picture, like the last one I posted, I did a front double bicep one.
I like that picture, by the way, too.
Thank you.
Was that very early? Was that very early in the morning? Was that early in the morning? Did you just wake up, or was
yeah? I had just woken up. You could tell from looking.
Yeah, you look a little like still sleepy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I literally just woke up, and I had my mom take the picture, and I posted it on there. This is when I was still at my mom's house, and everybody on Facebook was very complimentary, but somebody took a guy, Boost, who's on Get Big, and this has happened before. Anytime I post a picture on Facebook that. One of these guys on Get Big finds interesting, not just Get Big, on a bunch of other boards. On Anabolic Society, they did the same thing on a few other boards. But, especially Get Big because they're rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're particularly rough. So they took this one picture, the front double bicep picture, and posted it on Get Big. And, you know, I had a few positive comments, but a majority of them were pretty negative, you know?
So what did they pick on the most?
Well, Basically, I mean, most of them said that I had a good physique for a natural, you know, for a natty bodybuilder, you know, which and it, how I look at that is that's still a compliment, you know?
Right.
At least they're still, I mean, they're not saying I look like shit. They're saying
And let's be honest about something. This is really your first foray into getting serious about putting on some muscle. It's not
No, that's not true. It's my first in 7 years.
Yeah, but even back in the day, you weren't this big.
No.
And it's safe to say what I meant by this is your first foray into really putting on some serious muscle. I don't think that you use the supplements you used in the back in the day either to this degree.
Not the amount. I mean, I really didn't have access to it. Yeah. Back then I didn't have access to it. I didn't know, that many people, you know, I didn't, you know, it was a different situation. Put it to you that way.
I think your arms look amazing. I think that you have, a classic, right now you have a classic bodybuilder's physique in that, your chest is not so overpowering, your shoulders look great, and you just have this continuous progression where you get thicker and thicker all the way up to your arms and your shoulders. And I think it's reminiscent of what I believe is really the Renaissance bodybuilder, the more aesthetically appealing physique. It's not freakish.
Well, I'm tall. And that's one of the things that they say on there is that I'm, you know, that I look like I'm natural. Which is not necessary. I mean, I don't really take that as an insult. I mean, I guess it's meant to be an insult. But, you know, I'm 6'2" and I'm about 240, a little less than 240, 239.
Right.
And you know that there's not a lot of guys in the gym walking around like that. And there are a lot of guys in the gym, juiced up.
Right.
So I don't feel, you know, I have no problem with how I look. I also have no ambitions, Carl, of being a pro bodybuilder or even a national level bodybuilder. You know,
right.
I know I'll never be. As good as a PJ Braun who we just had on, Carl? Jose Raymond, of course not. He's a pro bodybuilder. The one I was looking for was Steve Kuklo.
Oh,
you know, national level bodybuilder. I'm never going to be like that. You know, I could work the next 5 years diligently and put everything into it. I still might not be like that.
Right.
So I'm doing this basically, Carl, for fun and for a goal and a challenge. You know,
right?
And I'm honestly having fun doing it. You know, I'm not dreading the cardio. I'm obviously not doing a super strict diet. You know that,
right?
I don't feel like I'm sacrificing very much to meet this goal. At least nothing that I'm not comfortable with sacrificing.
Right.
So you know, that's one thing that you know that I can say that I'm actually having fun doing it, and I think that's important. The other thing is that people were asking, you know, if I don't want to be a pro bodybuilder, then why would I take any kind of performance enhancing drug? And I know what I think. What do you think? Why would you, Carl Lenore, you have no ambitions of even getting on stage?
Yeah, but I actually talked about this today on Superhuman Radio. First of all, these are not performance enhancing drugs. They are appearance enhancing drugs.
Right,
number
right,
one.
Right.
Number
cosmetic
one.
Cosmetic enhancing.
Right.
Drugs.
And so that's like saying to a woman, well, you have no intentions of ever becoming, a centerfold in a men's magazine. Why would you go get a boob job? You do it for yourself. You do it for your circle of influence, for the people who are around you who will appreciate it. I don't think that you have to, That's like a guy who runs a runs the 440 every day, but he's never going to be in the Olympics. So he should stop because he's never going to be in the Olympics. I think it's for personal gratification, and I don't think that you have to be a pro in order to train, eat, live, use the supplements that pros use. You just want to do it for yourself.
Right. I have a doctor here in Houston that I see. I get blood work done every 3 months. If anything, I mean, nothing's ever been out of whack. Other than what's to be expected.
Right.
You know, if that was the case, if I honestly felt like I was damaging my health, and I was seeing signs of that in the blood work or the doctor was warning me, you know, I'd have to change things and I'd have to, reconsider.
Right.
You know, but at this point, I don't think that's what what's happening. They're putting out all these ridiculous on Get Big, cycles that they are saying that I'm taking.
Right.
And, like one guy up there is saying, I think it was Flexington Steel, a fan, obviously, a fan of the show and a fan of me personally. It seems like he's saying I'm taking 2,000 milligrams of test, 1,000 milligrams of EQ, 800 milligrams of Tren, 10 IUs of insulin.
And you know what the funny thing about all that is? Even if you were to rebuke that and you were to say,
right,
I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, they would say bullshit.
Right. Absolutely. So I don't even comment on that kind of stuff because what's the point? You know, nobody's going to believe me.
Right.
And they're going to believe I'm taking, you know, what, Mr. Olympia is taking. That's what they're going to believe.
Right. Right.
So that's what's up with that, Carl. You know, it's interesting to see whenever I post a picture that I'll get, somebody will email me and send me the link to a Get Big thread.
Right.
You know, they're even trying to estimate on one of the threads on how much money I make. You know, what my salary is, how do I survive? You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's really great that, I mean, when you make it into, the mainstream, what's the word I'm looking for? Consciousness to the degree that people are speculating about what
mainstream?
You do.
Mainstream? You think no.
I'm sorry. When you make it into the, you're right, I shouldn't have used the word mainstream because I'm thinking about the general population and obviously bodybuilders don't fit.
No.
But if when
nobody
you make,
knows me except maybe in bodybuilding.
Right. But when you make it into the consciousness of a group of people as you are right now and they comment about things, they want to know what you're up to and what you're making and what you're doing. I just think that that's a sign of success more than anything else because let's face it, there's a million unknowns out there. No one's wondering, I wonder what they make. I wonder what drugs he's using. I wonder, you know, this and that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look at everything like that. I try not to, you know, I only get upset, with stuff that people post when it's somebody that I know personally and consider a friend, you know, like how I got upset with Special Ed or Jason Stern, you know,
right,
his name.
Right.
That
right.
only pissed me off because I thought we were friends, and that's right. why I got upset with him.
Right.
You know, I would never.
But you have to remember, he's an attorney. He has no friends.
He has no soul.
He has no friends. Yeah, he has no soul. No, he has no friends. He has no friends. He only has prospective clients.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that's it.
I don't know. Me and him have made peace, so I'm not. I have nothing bad to say about Jason anymore. Good. At least not at this point.
Okay.
So Carl, let's talk some. You want to do the questions for you from one of our listeners?
Oh yeah, somebody wants to kick my ass. They have you asking questions, right?
Yeah, these are not my questions. We should definitely specify that.
Ask away.
They want. I think that the idea is to maybe get you a little riled up. I know you're very happy lately, but if you want to take out any aggression, you can do so.
Okay.
On
so they, in other words, they like me to rant, and so they're trying to give me.
I think he says he's a fan. So, he says these questions are more sarcastic than mean.
Right.
And he wants me to make sure I tell you that he likes you. This is – if I took roids, I'd be Mr. Olympia.
Oh, I actually am very fond of him. I think
you remember, he's went by a bunch of different names, but
yes.
That's the name he's currently
right,
on.
Right, right.
Okay, these are for Carl Lenoir. He wants to know, how come you're not a monster now with all of your anabolic raw food eating? Since you've been doing the raw food diet, how come you're not like – huge with muscle.
Well, the truth of the matter is that I've constantly been derailed for the past 2 years of making any real progress at all because life keeps getting in the way. You know, I'm at a point now where I don't have a car, so going to the gym is a little difficult because I have to walk. I had hurt my leg. As you know, I crushed my sciatic nerve and my right leg was completely lame for like a month. It's only functioning at 90% right now. I hurt my shoulders 5 months ago that kept me out of the gym for quite a while. It's really, I you know
you
what?
Your shoulder with me at the Olympia.
Yeah.
You dealt with that forever.
Yeah. I but my shoulders had bothered me prior to that. I had hurt them before that. So that I just re-injured them at the Olympia. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, if he wants a legitimate answer, I just haven't been able to put the focus in.
You've had a lot of other shit going on.
Yeah. And plus, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm very active with my family here, very involved with them. You know, I've got a mom that I'm caring for, and, you know, so I'm very active with my family, and I'm distracted by a lot of things in life.
Are
and
you
I don't...
still planning on moving at some point?
Yes, yes.
You have a possible date or
no, no. I do know that my divorce will be finalized in July because we have a court date, but I won't be there.
So it'll be, you think it'll be sometime this summer or sometime next year?
No, it's gotta be soon. It's gotta be within the next few months. I really can't. I mean, I'm living in a room with, living out of a suitcase now since June of last year. And it's it's wearing on me now. You know, it's wearing on me.
Okay. So you answered that one. He didn't get you upset with that, unfortunately.
Well, no, I mean, legitimately, I probably could be a lot further. I will tell you this. I put pictures of myself from my 50th birthday up on Facebook about three weeks ago and told a few people I was doing it because I wanted to try to get leaner for my 52nd birthday, which is this Friday, by the way. And unfortunately, I was unrealistic in the in my ability to get lean. I am definitely leaner than I was 3 weeks ago, but I don't know that I'm going to be as lean as I was in those pictures, but I am much more muscular now. I took some photos of myself and compared to them, my shoulders are broader and thicker. My back is thicker. So I've definitely put on some muscle. I'm weighing right now 227 pounds and I'm probably.
Oh, that's good, Carl. You were 240 last time I seen
you. I know.
That.
I'm probably 16% to 18% body fat, I'd predict, you know, truthfully. I mean, I could probably convince somebody that I'm closer to 11 or 12 because my abs came in early. But I definitely have some fat on my ass and my inner thighs and my lower back that has to go away and my chest. My titties are in full bloom.
So your birthday, your 53rd birthday is
52nd,
coming up this
Friday? 52nd, yeah.
You know, it's so funny, Carl, because it seems like not that long ago that I posted a thread on RX Muscle for your 51st birthday.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember that?
Yes, yes. That was very touching, and a lot of people wished me happy birthday. It was really nice.
Remember that? Isn't that crazy? That seems like recently.
Yeah, and actually the pictures of me on my 50th birthday were when we started thinking about doing the show. That was the pictures that I posted when Semen Taste. Yeah, it was like old. I remember his comment very well.
He posted pictures of himself and everything, right?
Right, and everybody was going, the old dude owns him and shit. It was really funny that people were like siding with me in those pictures. But I remember him saying I was an example of bad genetics and bunk gear.
I think he said something similar about me with my last picture, so you don't have to feel bad about that, Carl.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I'm going to be 52 this Friday.
Well, happy birthday, Carl. Yeah, so thank we won't. This is the happy birthday show for you.
Oh, really. Yeah. I don't celebrate my birthdays anymore. I'm not interested in celebrating a birthday.
We should have got some happy birthday music for you, and I could sing for you.
I that's fine. That's fine. Anyway,
sure you don't want to sing?
Yes, I'm positive. I'm positive.
Okay, good, because that would have been embarrassing. Yeah. See, this question here, I happen to know. Isn't the case right now, but I know what he's talking about. He says, also, Carl, you must be packing on the beef since you've been on that myostatin inhibitor for a while.
No, I haven't. I was only on the myostatin inhibitor in late 2008.
He's been keeping if I took roids, I'd be Mr. Olympia. He's been keeping up with you for a while.
Oh, I know. And I'm really – I mean, I'm flattered that he even listens. I was taking Fulstaxin for a few months in 2008. I absolutely think it contributed to some growth, but I was also using growth hormone at the time.
Didn't you tell me Fulstaxin is like it's impossible for it to work?
No. What I did say is the reason that none of the myostatin inhibitors work, none of them.
Percentage-wise.
Yes, because there was a study out of Albany, State University of New York in Albany, that shows that Dr. Weller – prove that unless you suppress myostatin continuously for above 90%, in other words, only 10% of the circulating myostatin is still present, that is when the muscle growing triggers occur in adult already formed muscle. We're not talking about babies who are myostatin null.
Right. I remember us talking about this before.
Yeah. So none of the myostatin inhibitors are going to work unless they suppress 90%+ myostatin continuously all day long for weeks and months, and then you're going to see the changes in your body.
Carl, the last question, and this is the only one that I think could actually aggravate you. So if you want to be aggravated, you go right ahead.
Okay. All right.
Why, Carl, do you take every and any study that you read and then put it on your radio show as fact?
Well, because studies are, at the moment, fact. They're facts du jour. These studies are being published by peer-reviewed journals by noted and accredited universities and scientists. And I'm talking about their result, and their result is empirical. According to the study, the result is empirical. It's there. So at that moment in time, it's fact. Now, a study could come out months later, weeks later, years later, that disputes that or shows a different side of it or maybe gives a better answer to the question, and then we go on to that. But studies are facts.
Wouldn't you say though, Carl, I mean, not that what you're saying is incorrect, but if you were going to look at one study alone by itself, it really can't tell you that much. You need many studies back that study up,
right,
before you can say, you know.
And when I do a show on a study, I look at the cited the citations for it, and I look at the research that they're using to fortify their position. No one's doing studies in a vacuum. They're doing studies as a result of the results of other studies. And then they're taking it a step further. So, but again, I mean, studies are facts. I mean, it's not like they're bullshit. They happen. They're empirical. They occurred. And so they are facts. Now, if he wanted to rile me up, he could say, well, why do you support all the supplements that are on your show? You know, I remember remember the guy that was supposed to come on and debate me? He wanted to say,
yeah, that would have been great. Unfortunately, I don't even remember the guy's name, but he never got back to me.
And he wanted to know, you know, do I really believe in all the products that I sell? And I don't sell any products. I do voiceover commercials for our advertising.
You sell advertising.
Anyway.
Hey, quick question, Carl. Do we need to do shout outs now or go to break or how do you want to handle this?
I want to do a little bit more banter. I want to talk a little bit about public about something that's a current event that I feel like hits home for you. Because you're a native New Orleans, from Louisiana, right? You lived in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, born and raised. Okay. Metairie, Louisiana,
so,
in actuality.
Yeah, Metairie, okay. And what do you think about this fucking BP oil spill thing?
I think it's horrible, obviously. I think I think it's the biggest natural disaster so far. So far as oil spills, it passed up. The Exxon Valdez, like many, many times over already, you know. But what do I think? I think it's horrible. I think it's going to affect. It's just another horrible thing to happen to the community of New Orleans. You know, it's just one thing after another with them. And I think it's going to affect the wildlife and the fishing, and even, you know, one of the places we would vacation when I was a kid. My grandparents had a condo in Sandestin, Florida. And we would go there. They have white sandy beaches, and my grandmother is from Pensacola.
Right.
And right now, the tar is coming up on the beach, and people are canceling their vacations. And you know,
do you know that Carmela Cerezo, how do you pronounce her last name? Cerezo. I'm so sorry, Carmela. Oh God, what is her screen?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
She's a female bodybuilder from Canada. Carmela, I communicate with her all the time and I can't pronounce her last name. I want to say it's Cerezo. I apologize. But anyway,
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was telling me that they're talking about it washing up on the shore up in Canada now.
Yeah, well, eventually it's going to go to Europe. I mean, it'll get on the what's that? The Atlantic, or with the what do they call that? The current there.
Yeah, I don't know, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it'll eventually go to Europe. I mean, it's going to keep going. I mean, it doesn't just stop, you know.
Right.
So,
but I mean,
I'm getting text messages from Guy Sister Nino saying I'm late.
Okay, all right, we'll text
them.
Okay,
and
tell them.
No, we will continue. Yeah. It's no big deal. I told him 10 minutes. That's why I was kind of stumbling with my words earlier.
That's okay. Yeah, but I mean, it's really tragic what's going on, and I'm fucking baffled.
Like, I tell you, it's really affecting my dad. You know, he watches that every night, and you know, by living with my folks for the last few weeks, I've got to see him. You know, it really upsets him to see that.
Yeah.
You know, he's been lived in New Orleans for 50 years, over 50 years. And my grandmother, his mother and grandfather, who's passed away, but they lived in New Orleans for over 80 years.
Jesus. It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, I don't know New Orleans is known
for its for fish, their fish. For seafood.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, holy mackerel, what the hell are they going to do if they can't fish there anymore? And I mean, who the hell would even want to eat fish from the Gulf?
Oh, you're right. I mean, it's going to, the cost of seafood, I'm sure, is going to go up all over this, probably all over the country, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's fucking
maybe all over the world. I mean, I'm sure it's going to affect the.
I personally think that the guy who runs BP should put a fucking wetsuit on and swim down there and sacrifice himself to the oil god by plunging his big fucking head into the hole and trying to stop the oil from coming out.
How do you think that, the one thing that baffles me, Carl, is when they're handling this, when it first happened, like at the first few weeks or the first week even, they're talking about the solutions to plug this pipe up,
right,
leak up, or to suck out the oil, or all these different solutions. And it amazed me that the amount of time that the newscasters and the experts were saying that it would take to come up with a viable solution to plug this bitch up.
Right.
They're like, on a low estimate, we could say as little as 8 weeks. It also could be till the end of the summer.
Do you know what one of the things that they haven't tried yet that actually the Russians have done with oil leaks like this underwater? To blow the fucking thing up.
Really?
You get a crew down there somehow. I forget. I remember reading an article, but they use a small, very, very small nuclear weapon. They bury it right down into the fucking hole where the oil is coming out, and they detonate it, and the fucking earth closes in on itself, and that stops.
They've actually had leaks.
Yeah,
this big
in Russia. Yeah. They've had oil leaks underwater, and they use fucking they detonate them with bombs,
it's
and they
5,000 feet underwater. I'm sure it would.
Well, I mean, 5,000 feet under the water. I mean, look, people would say, well, yeah, but what about the radiation? Fuck the radiation. Look at the oil. I mean, we're going to be eating this fucking oil for decades.
Yep.
And there's already people. I mean, people are getting sick.
The amount of oil that has come out of that thing, it's millions of gallons.
Unbelievable. And never mind the fact that the oil is getting pulled up into the air. You know what I mean? It's circulating. It becomes part of the atmosphere there. People are getting sick there with diseases that are known to be caused by exposure to high levels of petroleum. So forget about the fucking fish. The people are going to start dying next over there.
Oh, that's a bad situation.
BP, I mean, this is like the fucking guy who runs BP should be shot. This should have never fucking been able to happen. They should have had backup plan after backup plan for something like this.
I was listening to the MP3 of 60 Minutes where they talked all about this in detail,
Right.
And went through like some firsthand experience of people, one of the guys who was on the platform and everything, who had escaped with like minor burns and everything, and they go through everything, and then one of the things that they cover towards the end of the story is the congressional hearing where the head of BP, the head of Halliburton, and the head of the company that owned the I can't remember the name of the company, but the company that owned the actual drilling platform,
right,
and every one of these motherfuckers blamed somebody else. They're all like, this is a horrible situation. We can't believe this is happening, but it's not VP's fault. It's Halliburton's fault.
Well, you want to know, it's really funny. Last night, they interviewed like the six guys who were the survivors from the fucking thing. And they've already gotten their attorney. They've already got an attorney. They're suing BP because what their story is right before all this shit happened, BP came in and told the guy who was running the drill that instead of putting mud in the hole, I guess every now and then they must do certain things to the well to fucking keep it flowing or to manage it or whatever. And they were supposed to use mud. And instead he said, no, use seawater because that would not slow down the oil processing as much. And the guy said, no, we have to use mud. And the guy from BP said, look, I'm fucking BP. I'm taking over here. You're going to use fucking seawater. And now they're trying to say that that decision was what led to this fucking problem. And if that's the truth, If that's the fucking truth, if that comes out, that BP made a bad decision that caused this, I think there should be fucking criminal charges filed from the top all the way as fucking far down as they can go, right to the guy who was standing on the platform making the decision. They all ought to go to fucking jail for the rest of their lives. Because, you know, they put guys like Dr. Jesse Haggard in fucking jail for giving somebody fucking trenbolone. But these motherfuckers are destroying the earth. They're fucking destroying the earth. They need to go to fucking jail. They need to get fucked in their asses every fucking night by some big black guy named fucking Juno. You know what I mean? Say, hey, you're the guy with the oil. Put some in your ass because I need a little lube right now. I mean, these motherfuckers need to go to jail. Well, that's my rant. There you go.
Yes, good job. Maybe you made, if I took roids, it'd be Mr. Olympia happy with that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did you see the picture on RX of Joe Eater feeling my bicep? Kenny Cola made it.
No, I got to check that out. I haven't been on RX in quite a while. I'll get on there here during the break. I'll get on there.
All right. So what are we gonna? We're gonna bring Guy Cesternino on, and when we have him on, we'll do the shout outs while he's on.
There you go. When we come back, we'll have Guy on, and we'll do the shout outs then. Okay. Stay tuned. You're listening to Off Topic. We'll be right back.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Species Evolutionary Nutrition. The Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Saturday.
Welcome back to Off Topic.
Welcome back. Hey, Carl, you want me to do the shout-outs?
Yeah, go ahead, please. I'm ill-prepared. Go ahead, what?
What?
What do you want me to do?
Anabolic Society.
Okay. You ready? RX first.
Okay, here's RX Muscle shout-outs. Green Machine 23, thank you for the countdown. You did a good job tonight. There's some Chinese characters. This is a guy with a Chinese flag. I obviously can't pronounce that one, Carl. Pygmy, Kurt James in the house will be on next. Big Barry, Bellissima, Jillian Rev, Keith. Hey, Jill. Jillian. Jill. Jay Jones, Fireblast, Mass78, Buff Guy, Kenny Cola. Thank you for the artwork, Kenny Cola. The Physical Therapist, Angelican Beach Party, Biggie908, Fatback Goal, ABBG, holding it down Australia. Lee Carmichael, also in Australia. KZ, The Big Sexy, Joe Cristiano, Tight Booty, HRD, Goddess Amazon. How you doing, Goddess Amazon? Stu Gotts, Andre Gregori, Country Boy, Big Nut, Carson, Abra Media, JTG987, Jeff the Producer, thanks for putting up the thread, The Big King, Big Louie, and thank you, Jeff the Producer, for answering the text message. That was amazing. Stephanie Wicked.
I know, because he doesn't answer his text messages.
No, I was absolutely shocked he wrote back. Warped, Manavs. Steve Ayano, Jaundice McTitties, Asian Beef.
That's a funny name, Jaundice McTitties.
Yeah, you laugh every time with that.
I like Jaundice McTitties, and actually I think that Pygmy is a pretty cool guy too. I like some of the shit that he posts, and he's funny.
Very creative. PTB, Lay It Down, Genesis, Natzo, Get Lean, This Is War, Jason Newman, Greg Z 123. I want to give a few special shout-outs, Carl. Also, PJ Braun hasn't posted, but I'm sure he's going to be listening to the next interview. Anyway, I also want to give a shout-out to my new friend Nadine Dumas. How do you pronounce that? How do you pronounce that, Carl? D-U-M-A-S. Is it Dumas?
I think Dumas. Dumas.
Okay, well, whatever. You get the point, right?
Yeah. As long as you don't call her dumbass, I think she's going to be happy.
Yeah. She definitely isn't. And Mike Zeltzer, and you go ahead with
I can't pull up the list like we normally do, so I'm gonna have to actually scroll through. Haga, Scottish Muscle, Natron, of course, our buddy Natron, Gordon Bombay.
I need Natron to give me a call. Tell him call me.
Okay, Rock Jim, Mark, Kembo 213, Mama Red. We already got Haggard. Gay for Pay King. G4P King. That's funny. Mike the Ripper, of course, with his famous... His avatar is always... what's his name? Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver. What a great fucking picture that is. Lollipop in a Bitch's Mouth. And Striker Jones. Striker Jones. Kenbo 213. I think that's pretty much it.
I just got a text message from GX. GX is actually the guy with the Chinese characters and the Chinese flag. I should have looked at the post count, and then I would have figured it out. Or the red letters on his name, but all the red match. So a shout-out to GX, our music director.
By the way, Overlord posted on Anabolic Society, fuck this, I'm not even going to bother this week. Considering the desperate state of species nutrition RX Empire, you should think Singerman might plant some seeds with other websites so that he has... Man, this guy is fucking bitter, huh, Overlord? What's up with him?
He's a big fan of the show.
Is he? Okay.
Oh, a huge fan. I mean, obviously he's a huge fan.
He refers to Jeff the producer as Jeff the Baboon. I think that's funny, too.
You know, actually, he was the one who asked us to not make so many Jewish comments.
Who was? Overlord?
He was. Overlord, oh, okay. Yeah. He's one of the ones who emailed me asking me to... not to play down the Jewish angle.
I wonder if he's black. He has Buffalo Soldier on his signature.
He may be.
Also Caledonian Steel. Okay, that's it over at Anabolic Society. Thank you for listening. And to Overlord,
and we're not
going
to get big this week because I didn't put up the thread in time. But, I mean, you got the regular guys over there. Unsung, Big Dick Bob. What are the people you like over there, Carl?
There's
a whole list of them.
Yeah.
We're sorry, guys. Next week, I promise. We'll feature you guys first. Let's get to our guest. I mean, we're taking up too much time with these shout outs.
Okay. Guy Cisternino, how you doing, Guy?
IFBB Pro. Guy Cisternino.
What's going on? How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
What's going on,
bro? Sorry for being so late, Guy.
man, you're 11 minutes late, bro. I'm sitting here waiting around, and you're clocking me out.
You were about to just move on and do something else. I forget about
that. I had to eat my meal at 8:30. I slammed it down. I was, like, borderline puking, and I'm like, where is this kid?
What was your meal?
I just had 8 ounces of beef and some broccoli.
Oh, nothing too exciting.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so let's start a guy with in Atlanta at 2008 for the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Give us how you were feeling. You know, did you expect? I mean, were you thinking that you were going to win your pro card at this show? I mean, you looked ridiculous. You were middleweight. You were. I've seen the pictures. You were in amazing shape. Did you think going up there that you would win your pro card?
I mean, it was being talked about, Aaron. I mean, this thought definitely crossed my mind. You know, when I first started competing, I just had aspirations to do well. And then, you know, in 2007 was kind of my breakout year when I won the Mets, my weight class, won the Junior USAs. And then when I took second to Jose in 07, I was like, wow, you know, I might actually have a chance at, you know, going somewhere in the sport, you know, because in 07 they started that 202 class.
Right.
So it was a big eye-opener. So, you know, everybody asked, you know, did you think you were going to win? I mean, you know, when you're doing 2 hours of cardio a day, you know, you have a lot of time to think and, you know, kind of get, like, your mental state of mind. And, you know, I thought about, you know, what would I do if I placed, you know, 15th? What if I only make top 10? What happens if I was fifth? If I was second again, you know, what was I going to do? So, I mean, it was always in the back of my mind, you know, what if? People ask me all the time, you know, like before the show, they were like, oh, you're going to be the new pro. And I tell everybody the same thing. You know, when I train for a competition, you know, for, in 2003 when I started or even now, you know, I train like I'm in last place and I have to earn, you know, every placing, you know, up to get, and, you know, to first. So, you know, I don't have a lot of people like, you got to train for first place. You know, in a way I believe that, but I also believe that, like, if I started 16 weeks out dieting thinking I was going to win my pro card, I feel like the battle's already lost because you have nothing to work for. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I always have the mindset that I have to work hard to, like, you know, I start off in 15th and I got to work my way up every single week. You know,
did you feel like you had worked hard enough when you got on stage at Nationals that you had worked hard enough to win?
Yeah, I mean, I did everything I physically possibly could. You know, and a lot of my buddies bust my chops, but, like, I keep a journal of what times I eat every day, how much sleep I got, you know, what vitamins I took with what meals, you know, what time I went to bed, what I weighed before I go to sleep, what my weight was when I woke up, how my workout was. You know, because I like to go back. I mean, I have every journal from when I competed. So, I mean, you know, if I ever have a question or I was like, well, you know, I looked better in 07 than 08 or, you know, vice versa, you know, what did I do differently? So I can always go back and check and document what I did. And, you know, some people think it's a little neurotic, but, you know, that shows me that, like, I did everything I could and I document everything to the T and I didn't cheat and I measured everything, 7 ounces or, you know, a cup or a tablespoon. I mean, when I diet for a show, it's, like, my mind, the outside world is just, like, completely shut off to me.
Are you that anal in all other parts of your life, or is it just the bodybuilding stuff?
Man, I'm not that I'm weird. I'm just really, like, not, like, OCD, but, like, I'm very clean. Like, I'm very organized. Like, my car's always, like, I get my car cleaned, like, once a week. My room I clean, like, once a week. Like, my dishes are always done before I go to bed. Like, I wake up in the morning.
So the answer
is
yes, you are.
Yeah, you know what it is? And it's not... I don't know if it's so much OCD, but it was like how I was raised.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're a normal fucking guy, but you've learned to, like, clean up your shit. I think there's guys who spend a few years in the military that are like that. Make sure your fucking dishes are done before you go to sleep at night.
Carl, I mean, yeah, Carl, exactly. I mean, you know, I grew up middle class Italian family. Like, when I got up for school, my bed had to be made.
Right.
You know, if my laundry, you know, if I had clothes on the floor, I would come home, my clothes would be on the front grass, on the front lawn.
I was the same way. I used to fucking scream at my mother. I gotta make my fucking bed before I go to school, Mom.
No, I'm like,
yeah. That didn't work too well at my house.
Nah,
but
my father would have broke my head. You kidding?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it's from. Like, you know, I always had to eat what my mother made. you know, if I didn't like it, then I didn't eat. That's how, you know, that's how my house.
Yeah, but let, but let's face it. We have a luxury growing up Italian, because who doesn't fucking like Italian food?
Well, you got a luxury growing up Italian, but I was a chubby Italian kid.
So
I
was,
dude, my mother made.
Dude, so was I, man. I was 200 pounds by the time I was 14 years old. When I moved to Queens, I was 200 pounds.
See, I wasn't 200 pounds, but, like, I was about 5 foot tall until I got to, like, high school.
Right, right.
You know, so I was, like, 5 foot, like, 130 pounds. I was walking around, like, you know, I was a pudge bowl.
Right. Yeah, I went through the same thing.
Did that influence you to get into working out, guy, that you wanted to, you didn't want to be a little fat boy anymore?
Man, you know what it was, Aaron? It was, I was always a small guy, you know. PJ, you know, he's one of my close friends. Everybody knows that. You know, and I've heard him say many times that, like, you know, Guy always has to work harder because of, you know, not that I'm shorter, but, like, I don't have phenomenal genetics. I have good genetics. They're not great. You know, I'm not a mass monster. I played football for 15 years. I started in third grade. I played all the way through college. So I was, you know, I was the smallest kid on the football team. I was one of the lightest kids on the football team. But I was always the strongest. So even, like, being small, it wasn't really, like, you know, the Napoleon complex where I'm smaller, so, you know, I gotta be that much better, you know, or I have to, you know, be, you know, stronger, kick everybody else's ass. But it was just like, you know, if I'm small, then I'm gonna be the smallest, strongest motherfucker there is. And that's what pretty much drove me, you know, to get into bodybuilding, because, you know, ever since freshman year of high school, I started lifting weights, and I was always when we had to max out, I made sure nobody ever beat me in my max total. That was, like, always my goal.
Wow, so you were pretty strong then.
Yeah. Pound for pound. I mean, I don't throw around, like, I don't squat 1,000 pounds, but, you know, when I was in college.
I think I saw you squatting 495, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I have on video, before I started having knee issues, I was getting 500, first set, I was getting like 500 for 10.
What's the problem with your knees?
I have just, you know, from the years of football and, you know, just, you know, injuries here and there. I have patella tendonitis in my left knee.
Yeah.
And I have quad tendonitis in my right knee. People are like, oh, it's only tendonitis.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most painful
Fucked
things.
Fucked up. I know,
you know,
man.
It's brutal.
I had patella tendonitis for about a year and a half, and then I found out that it was because my kneecap was tracking wrong.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and I had to do, like, these movements. You know the movements that the girls do? Looks like they're airing out their coochie on the
Yes.
I had to start doing the coochie airing movements to get the inner muscles working better.
Is that the technical term, Carl?
Yeah, I think it's actually called the wafting movement is what it's
yeah.
called.
Like you're wafting a fart.
Yeah, and so I had to start doing those. But then I got a real bad case of tendonitis in the glute, where the glute and hamstring meet.
Oh,
holy
God.
Shit, I couldn't straighten my fucking leg out. It used to wake me up in the middle of the night. Tendonitis is a bitch, man.
You know, and it drives me crazy because, you know, you get all these people that, you know, are slobs or don't work out, and they're fine. And then you go to the gym to try to better yourself and look good and, you know, work out. And I walk around like I'm, you know, I mean, I never had a major injury, you know, thank God. But, you know, I go to a physical therapy twice a week to get ART done, Graston's on my knees, my triceps.
How do you like ART?
It's awesome. I started getting ART, and I still do. Dr. Mike Trocnia in Physical Synergy, Evan Santapani started having me go to him originally for my shoulder, because I had shoulder surgery right after Nationals in 07.
That's the guy PJ goes to,
my right shoulder, huh?
That's the guy PJ goes to, too.
Yeah, because my right shoulder was so bad because, you know, in football, I'm right-handed, so I always led, whether I tackled or I was carrying the ball, I always dropped my right shoulder first. So I had bursitis, I had a partial torn labrum, I had an impingement, I had a cyst, so I had to get all that taken. So I had to get all that taken care of, but during my prep for 07, I had to go to him twice a week because I wouldn't have been able to make it through the prep because my shoulder was almost like a sponge, like the muscle wasn't firing right.
Right.
So I couldn't even flex my shoulder. So I started going to him, and I still go up to him because I go to my posing coach, Kenny Wallach, in New Haven Golds, owned by the Montaneri brothers, every Sunday to pose with my posing coach. So I usually stop by him on Sundays, but there's a guy, Dominic Fontana Rosa, that I go to twice a week in Jersey, who does a phenomenal job. He does the Graston's technique. That's what, I don't know if you saw the thing that Fuad was getting done on MD where it was almost like a plastic tool and he was getting really
bruised. Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I get that done on my knees and my triceps.
Wow. On your twice knees?
I get it done not on the knee, but like on the muscle, like what Carl was talking about where it wasn't tracking right.
It doesn't track. It must hurt like a motherfucker, huh?
Yeah, oh, dude, it's brutal. Brutal.
Wow.
You know,
it looked like it was hurting him on his back. So I can only imagine around the
knee. Sometimes I got to bite a towel because that's how painful it can get.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel better the next day, or do you feel worse the next day?
I'll be bruised, but I'll feel like a million bucks. I wasn't, for 2 months, I couldn't squat. I only did hack squats and leg presses. That's the only thing that felt good on my knees. I tried putting 135 on a squat bar. I couldn't, and a couple weeks ago, I was revving 485. So that's how improved I got just from going to him twice a week.
Wow. I need to go check him out next time I'm in town.
Yeah, so whenever you're in town, man, give me a holler because he's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to get back to – I know we're about to run up on a commercial, but I want to get back to Nationals. What were you feeling when you won your pro card? I mean, obviously you said you had worked hard enough. You weren't shocked by it, I know, but how did it feel? What was going through your head?
I was like, you know, it was kind of like, holy shit. Like, did they just really call my name as, you know, first place? Because it's like, you know, it's kind of, you know, I guess, surreal as, you know, it may be. Like, I never expected to be that, have that prestigious, like, you know, title of being, like, an IFBB pro. So when they called my name, it was almost like, you know, the world was lifted off my back because it was like so much stress. Like, I actually got upset because I was like, it's finally, like, I finally did it. You know, it was one of the, you know, I played football for 15 years, sacked quarterbacks, scored touchdowns, you know, I've done it all in football, but that has to be, you know, in my life, probably one of the moments regardless of, you know, if I ever win a pro show or whatever, probably one of the biggest moments of my life.
It had to be.
Wow.
Was it emotional? It was emotional for you?
Yeah, man, it was real. I held back tears on stage. You know, I didn't want to be that guy to look like, you know, a baby on stage, but, you know, it was just like so much emotion. Like, you don't know whether to smile, whether to cry. Like, I didn't know what to do. You know, I remember the first guy I walked off stage was Carl Filippone. I'm very close with Carlo, and he was right there, and he ran in the back, and I walked down the stage, and he gave me a hug, and I just broke down like a 3-year-old. You know, so, yeah, I mean, it's just something you can't control. You know, within 5 minutes, I was fine. But, that initial, you know, shock, I was like, holy, it was like winning the Super Bowl.
I'm sure it was. I can only imagine. So when you went backstage and everything, was it something that, like, obviously it hit you right then, but did it seem surreal for a while afterwards?
Honestly, there were so many times that everybody's like, how does it feel to be a pro? I mean, for months, I was like, honestly, it hasn't even sunk in yet. Like, and I don't think even now, obviously I know I'm a pro, but I don't think it's ever going to really fully sink in until the day I step on a pro stage. And you know, they call my name and I stand next to the guys that I look up to, you know, my life growing up.
Right.
Right, absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back. Carl, can we go to commercial now?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Guy Cisternino, so stay tuned to Off Topic. Hey, don't touch that fucking dial.
Until the break of dawn, life cannot go by the letter.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition. The Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@Hotmail.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Now I'm lost, and I'm screaming for help. Relax,
take it easy, for there is nothing that we can do.
Relax, take it easy.
Welcome back to Off Topic. Our guest this hour is Guy Cisternino, IFBB Pro. How do you like that? IFBB Pro. IFBB Pro. You had to tape that and just like wear one of those things around your neck where you press the button and it goes, Guy Cisternino, IFBB Pro.
Like one of those little Pee Wee Herman dolls.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, PJ Braun always mentions that Guy often says, my status is an IFBB Pro. Have you heard of him?
PJ Braun also is a exaggerator, as he said today.
Yes, he is an exaggerator. It's well known. We're going to go to the PJ stories in just a minute. But first, I wanted to talk about, you had left it off about how it's not going to hit you till you're early on stage with other IFBB pros or the guys you looked up to. When will that happen? Tell us about that.
Well, I haven't, you know, really said anything, and it's not because, you know, I'm trying to keep anything a secret. But I started working with Neil Hill. About a year ago, and you know, I pretty much told him that, you know, when he felt I was ready to step on stage, you know, pretty much it was in his hands. You know, I have faith in him. You know, I got very close with a lot of guys in the past 3 years. I'm very close with Flex Lewis, very close to Jose, talk to him almost every day. And you know, Flex got me to work with Neil, and I put, you know, 100% of my trust in him. So Neil thought I was ready this upcoming season to compete. And I've been dieting going on 12 weeks. It'll be 12 weeks on Friday. For my goal right now is to step on stage at the Hartford Europa, July 23rd. Is it 100% right now? I can't say yes. I can't say no. You know,
but that's the plan as of right.
That's
as
the
of
plan.
Today.
You know, we're bringing me down slow. He, you know, I started getting, one of my things was I started getting really stringy at Nationals because I was ready to step on stage at about 185 to 187. And, you know, when I had to suck down that much, you know, I kind of almost looked a little skinny to me, you know, especially, in, you know, when I look at the pictures. So we're bringing me down very, very slow. I'm guessing, you know, in another 6 weeks I'll probably be on stage, if I do the show, about 190. Right now I started dieting at 225. I'm down to 203. So right now, you know, we're definitely on target. So, you know, hopefully good things to come in the next 6 weeks. So that's the plan. If I'm there, you know, that's going to be my pro debut. If not, you know, there's four or five shows in a row. So whenever, you know, I feel I peak. If I need another week or two, then, you know, I'll do one of the later shows. But for right now, it's Darford.
And you can turn in your contract as late as 1 week before the show, isn't that right?
Yes. Yep.
So you really have your pick. I mean, you could do 2 weeks later in Dallas.
Yep. And then there's that Michigan show.
Yeah, there's the
there's one
Detroit
in Michigan
show
this year. Yeah.
Yeah, what's that one called? John Simmons?
John Simmons, yeah, yep.
Yeah, John Simmons 202. There's the Dexter Jackson one. Oh, the Dexter Jackson one's coming up first. No, that's August 7th, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, you got plenty of choices. For the 202 guys, you got plenty of choices.
That's why I'm just that's why we're just taking it slow. You know, there's so many where, you know, if I need another week or two to take, you know, then that's not a big deal. But, you know, I started prepping 18 weeks out, so this is the longest prep I've ever done.
So let's say, Guy, you do this one of the – I guess you're going to do one of them. Let's just say you do the Hartford show. What's the goal? I mean, you want to qualify for the 202 showdown? You just want to get up there and represent yourself well? You want to be in the top five? What's the goal? You want to win the show? I mean, what's the plan?
Well
– what's a victory to you? Let's put it that way.
A victory to me, and, you know, people might say this is corny. You know, I'm a pro. I should be going for the money to, you know, compete in the Olympia. A win for me is to look – just as hard, if not harder, as I did at Nationals, and be 10 to 15 pounds, you know, heavier on stage. To me, that's a win, regardless of how I place. You know, I can't – David Henry's doing the show. You know, I don't think I'm better than David Henry. You know, he's one of the top 202 guys there is. You know, him, Kevin English, Eduardo, you have Jose. I mean, those are some big muscle, you know, some big muscle guys up there. So, you know, I don't put myself in the same category as them. You know, if I can make top five, you know, great. If I told myself I do top five at that show and I don't qualify for, you know, the 202 showdown, I will do another show. Because if I make top five, to me that shows that I'm good enough to be top five, which means I'm good enough to, you know, to possibly be at the 202 showdown. So if I do top five there, I will hit, you know, the Dallas show, I'll hit the Michigan show. You know, if all goes well and I qualify for the 202 showdown, you know, my fiance is going to be, you know, in the Fitness Olympia, so, you know, we'll both do it together. So,
Carl, you have a question?
Yeah, actually, I do. Now I have two questions. I didn't know there was a woman in the picture, but first of all, well, let's go with that. So, how is it dating a woman who is also an athlete?
Hey, believe it or not, some people think it's crazy. You know, they're like, "How do you guys diet or, you know, eat or blah blah blah?" We're pretty much one and the same. I mean, we eat a lot of the similar foods. You know, she never has to really bring food over to my house. When she comes over, you know, I go to her place, you know, because we're in the middle of looking for, you know, a place together. So it's always back and forth. You know, she cooks food for me. I cook food for her. You know, we train together a lot. You know, if she starts prepping for a show, she's back and forth about doing the Dallas show before the Olympia. You know, we'll do cardio together. So, I mean, it's got so many perks. The only downside is, you know, when anybody diets, you get a little bit of an attitude, you get grumpy, you get pissy, but you know, we tend to do very well when she's dieting or when I'm dieting. You know, well, she's never really been around me when I was dieting. Besides Nationals was the first show she was around me, but I was pretty, you know, calm because that was kind of when it was new in the relationship. So I was like, man, I can't be like an asshole. You know, the first 6 months I meet somebody, she's gonna say,
"Yeah, but you know what? Why can't you be that way even 6 years later? Why can't you say to yourself, I can't be like an asshole? If you can turn it off and control it at 6 months, you can definitely can turn it off and control it at 6 years. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, as of now, I mean, I'm pretty good. I haven't really been that bad. And she's actually worse than me. She was when she was.
Well, women have a much harder time managing blood glucose than men do because of progesterone and estrogen's fluctuations when they diet. So, I mean, it's
just. Yeah,
vitamin C. Tell her to take 1,000, take a gram of vitamin C 3 to 4 times a day. It'll keep her blood sugar stable, and she'll be less moody.
Hey guys, so you guys were actually you got engaged before ever living together, huh?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
We were looking for places before, but we just couldn't find anything that we.
You
liked.
Know what's really funny, Aaron? You go, wow, like that's odd. But back in the day, that's the way you fucking did it, right? Remember, you kept company with a girl, you dated her.
I don't remember.
You gave her an engagement ring. You got married, and then you got a place together. Nowadays, it's like, no, you get a place together, then you decide whether you want to fucking stay together.
Well, you know, and her thing was that, you know, she wanted to, you know, get engaged and then experience all those things after instead of doing it before, because then she's like, well, if, you know, we're living together, or, you know, we're, you know, we have a house or this or that. And then she's like, then we get married. What's the big experience?
Right.
Yeah. We have a piece of paper. Yeah, great.
But here's the opposite side of the argument. Say you get married and then you realize, fuck, this girl's got all kinds of shit that you know, like,
well, you're
surprised
it,
that living with her, you find stuff you don't like that you didn't know before,
dude,
you got married.
Dude, I don't care how well you think you know a girl. Once you get married and you actually start living together, I mean, it's a different fucking story.
That's
first
what I'm
of
saying,
all.
Though. If you
no, no, but I mean, no, but even if you know a girl, you've been living with her for a while, they change once they're married.
You know, I've heard that too, and you know, she's a school teacher, so in the summer she completely has off.
That's cool.
So in the summer, we've lived together for a whole summer, like every single day. She has things that she does that drive me up the wall. I do things that drive her crazy.
Is she clean like you are, or does she make a mess?
She's messy.
Ooh.
In the bedroom, she'll leave her shit everywhere. But like, outside the house, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Out, like, she'll leave her clothes.
Yeah, right.
You know, her,
take something off and leave it right there where she took it off on the floor.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then she'll, like, she'll
I do that
drawers,
shit too.
She'll, leave her,
yeah,
she'll open drawers, not close them. That shit just drives me nuts because that's how I am, because I'm always closing shit.
Hey, guy, overlook that shit, man. I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, no,
yeah.
She just laughs about it.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, no, she's like out, like, kitchen, you know, like, living room, all that stuff. She's completely, you know, clean. She's like my backbone. So, I mean, I have no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah.
Hey, Guy, here's a question. One of the listeners sent this to me in the email, and we actually have a bunch of listener questions for you, but this is one that I wanted to make sure I got in. You switched to Neil Hill. Carl, do you remember Neil Hill we talked about last show? James Llewellyn works with
Yes,
him.
Yes.
He lived at his house for a while,
right,
remember?
Right.
What made you decide to switch from Dave Palumbo to working, you know, you work with Dave Palumbo all the way through, got your pro card with Dave. Why did you decide to go from Dave to Neil Hill?
Yeah, I'm actually glad somebody asked that question because I'm so sick. There was a thread that got started that said I started working with Neil Hill, and everybody thought it was like, you know, because me and Dave had problems, and I was, you know, everybody's like, oh, he's such an asshole, you know, he turned pro. But, you know, me and I just talked to Dave the other day on the phone. You know, me and Dave are still very close. Like, if I have a question, you know, Neil's in the UK, you know, sometimes, you know, like, me and Dave are still buddies. Like, we bullshit. Like, we, you know, we throw ideas at each other still. Like, he's, you know, just because he doesn't help me with my prep doesn't mean I don't value him as a person or as a friend or, you know, as a nutritionist or a coach or a mentor. You know, he's still, in my opinion, a great guy. But, you know, after Nationals, you know, and Dave admitted it, you know, like, he, you know, his company took off. You know, he got a ton of clients. And, you know, we sat down. I'm like, Dave, listen, you know, I need like a little more attention. You know, not that, you know, I'm big, high and mighty, and, you know, I need more attention because I'm a pro now. But I'm like, I'm sure, being a pro athlete, you know, now that I'm an amateur, there's a thousand things I need to work on. I'm like, what do I need to do differently, and, you know, what do I need to change? And, you know, he was just so busy with so many things that, you know, I needed more attention. And, you know, at the time he couldn't give it to me. So, you know, we talked, and I just told him, you know, I think I just need to go in a different direction. And, you know, he kind of agreed. Know that he wasn't being, you know, as attentive as, you know, that I wanted him to be. So, you know, we parted ways, and, you know, we still talk. And I still answer questions on his forums if people ask me questions, and I have nothing bad to say about him.
I got a question for you since you're talking about nutrition. I heard that you're a big proponent of eating venison, deer meat.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I grew up on it. You know, my dad was a butcher in Pathmark, you know, when
Pathmark.
When
I remember fucking Pathmark. Yep. That's great.
He was a butcher, so, and then after, you know, he's been a hunter his whole life. I mean, he goes on hunting trips, and then he owned his own hunting and fishing store for 15 years.
Cool.
You know, and I hunt, I fish. So, I mean, we have two huge freezers full of deer meat. So, I mean, growing up, I mean, my mom and my sister weren't really big advocates of it, but my dad always cooked you know, my mom will cook it, but she just won't eat it. Like venison, chili, steaks, fillets. I mean, you name it. It's so much. I mean, obviously back then when I was a little chunker, it didn't really matter what the hell I was eating as long as it tasted good.
Right.
But now, just knowing the benefits of it, it's, you know, it's free range. It's not fed any shit.
Right.
You know,
natural diet.
Natural diet. Exactly. I mean, you know, it has a little bit of a gamey flavor, and you really can't cook venison on the grill because it's one of the leanest cuts of meat.
So lean.
Throw it on the grill. It dries right out, and people are like, "Oh, it's a steak. Throw it on the grill," and then they're like, "Oh, it tastes like shit." Well, you got to like paint, like all my venison, I pan sear.
Right.
You know?
Or you stew it. It's great. If you do cacciatore, it comes out really good. Like if you do a cacciatore style.
Yep.
Or chili.
They call
it
like a ragu almost.
Yeah. I love venison. And like, but the thing that you said is really the most important. And the truth of the matter is, beef is good for you if the cows are allowed to eat grass their whole lives.
Yeah.
If you let the animal eat what it's naturally designed to eat, you have a better quality of food, and that's why venison is good. By the way, an old trick. I mean, I was an avid hunter for many years. Always got my limit. Used to have a doe tag every year.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is if you're in snow country and you shoot a deer after you gut it, you pack it full of snow, and then you hang it.
Carl, did I ever tell you I went hunting one time? And I killed a squirrel, and I still feel bad about it.
Are you being serious, or are you joking?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, man.
Here, I've had squirrel chili, so I hope that makes you feel worse.
When I was
I don't care if other people kill them. I just don't want to kill them. Jews don't hunt, guy.
When I was 15 years old, I shot enough squirrels to fucking cover my belt with. I had a squirrel skin belt that I wore.
Evil motherfucker.
Yes.
You gotta see, dude. You gotta see like our garage where we butcher shop. Because, I mean, we go turkey hunting, bear, deer. My dad's gone elk hunting in Montana. I mean, there's so much shit in our garage as far as, like, hunting stuff goes. It's when people come in, they're like, you know, you walk in my house, you walk in the front door, there's three huge mounts of big bucks above your head. And people are like, what the hell you guys do here?
You know, it's funny, and you'll appreciate this, guy. I lived in the South Ozone Park, Queens, for the last portion of my adult life when I lived in New York. And I used to come home with my deers. And I used to pull them up on the fucking telephone pole in my backyard. And you know how Queens is. All the yards are backed up against each other and shit. You still there, guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I had two sawhorses and a big wooden plank I used to lay out in the back, and I used to dress my deers. I used to process them right there in the backyard.
Yep.
And my neighbors would look, and I had a butcher's saw, you know, the big bow saw, I had a couple mallets, and I had a couple hatchets, and I used to sit back, I used to fucking process deers, and my neighbors would look over their fucking fences, and I know they were being disgusted by it, because all the trimming and all the fat that would be left, I would just throw it in the garbage can and put it out front, and for like 4 days, the flies and everything would be all over the fucking garbage can.
You know, the problem that we have is that we can't do that, because I live in the sticks, man. I mean, people think of Jersey, they think of like fist pumping guineas, but... Like where I live is sticks. We can't keep we have bears come up on our deck.
Oh, yeah.
And like take the guard. I mean, it's bad. So we got to be careful with all that shit.
Now, what part of Jersey are you in?
I'm like North Jersey, like Passaic County area.
Oh, Passaic. Like do you know where Upper Greenwood Lake is?
Yeah. Cause that's my dad's store used to be in Ringwood. So that. Was,
oh yeah. Like, I spent every summer as a kid in Upper Greenwood Lake, New Jersey.
Yep.
My grandmother had a house up there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you familiar with Wentzville
Reservoir? Whenever you mention a place, guy, Carl will tell you where the best restaurants are. You know the streets, the cross streets. He knows all that.
What can I say? I've been around. What do you say? Do I know where? What is
Monksville Reservoir?
Of course.
No, it sounds familiar.
He's been there. It's off.
It sounds
this.
Familiar. Sounds familiar. But anyway,
yeah, great squirrel chili.
I love New Jersey. I had a t-shirt when I was a kid that said "Kiss her where it stinks, drive her to Bayonne."
Bayonne, New Jersey.
Because Bayonne has all the fucking refinery plants. It stinks when you drive through Bayonne.
See, everything's Jersey stinks, but it's only that one place, like, one area.
Right.
Hey, guy. Let me ask you. I'm gonna ask a few guy a few. Actually, you know what? I wanted to make a comment earlier when we were on the Dave Palumbo thing. You know, Dave made a comment to me about you, guy. He said that of all the people he trained, you were one of the most diligent followers of exactly what he said. You didn't question or weren't stubborn. You did exactly word for word. He would tell you you would do it.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. I mean, you pay somebody to lead you in a direction, and to not follow that direction is kind of, you know,
stupid.
It's kind of asinine. I mean,
right.
You know, if I'm going to pay somebody for – you know, a Ferrari, and I get a Dodge Neon, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to pay him for his knowledge, well, I'm going to follow it. You know, I mean, but, you know, like anything, I mean, Dave's diet's great. You know, I follow what he said. I mean, sometimes I, you know, if I thought he was overdoing something, you know, I would back off, or I would maybe add, you know, I would keep a cheat meal in an extra week, or, you know, because sometimes, I mean, that diet, keto, you're doing a keto diet for 16 weeks, it beats your body up, and sometimes, you know, it was almost like too much. Like my body started getting like too tired. So, you know, there were times I backed off on the cardio because, you know, at the end of the day, I listened to Dave, but at the end of the day, like, I got to listen to my body first. You know, that's what a lot of people don't understand.
In your off season, guys, were you doing a keto diet in the off season, or you had carbs in?
No. I've never done a keto diet my entire life in the off season.
That's the one thing that I know Neil Hill believes is that you should, you know, your off season should be the same foods, and basically your diet should just be less of exactly the same.
Well, let me tell you something. When I started 18 weeks out, in my off season, I was eating about 600 grams of carbs. He backed off about 60 grams. I was eating about 540 grams of carbs until about 10 weeks out, all the same exact foods. And then he started cutting. I'm still eating fruit now, and I'm still eating fruit. I'm still eating rice. I'm still eating yams. I'm still eating oatmeal. And I mean,
he believes that changing the foods dramatically puts extra stress on your body, right?
Yes. And one of the people are like, why so much fruit, especially when you diet? And you know, I asked Neil, what's the reason for the fruit? I mean, I love fruit, so it's not really, you know, a bad thing for me. But he said having a little bit of fruit while you're dieting and having those little insulin spikes throughout the day actually keeps you more anabolic and in a more anabolic state when you're actually dieting for a show.
I've heard that.
So that was something that I never really knew.
Yeah, sure. Let me get to some of these listener questions, Guy.
Go ahead.
I have a bunch of them, and I don't want to miss. I know people will be pissed if I don't even ask.
No, I mean, go ahead.
Let's see. They want to know, this guy, Andre Gregory, wants to know, assuming he wants to – we already talked about where you're going to make your pro debut, you believe. But when you make your pro debut, how do you plan to add 25 pounds of stage weight to be competitive in the 202s?
Where do you get 25? 15? Because I said 190. That'd be 15.
This is what he wrote beforehand, before the thing. I think he's trying to put 26 pounds. You're 176. So he's saying, assuming you're planning on being 201 or whatever on
stage.
No,
I plan on being 190. But for example, Jose weighed Jose normally weighs in anywhere from 193 to 196. He's not 202. I'm not going to be 202. You know, I'm young. I just turned 28 in March. I'm not, you know, I still have a lot of muscle maturity to do. I will be in I'm in probably 190, maybe a tad higher. And the reason why I know that is because when I was dieting for Nationals in 08, I was ready to step on stage at 185, 187. So there's no way I didn't put on at least 3 pounds of muscle in almost 2 years. So,
the one piece of advice I would give you, a guy, is, you know, just come in the condition you were in before, in that absolutely shredded condition. If you're the hardest guy on stage, it doesn't matter if you're the biggest. You're going to stand out. You know what I mean?
Yep. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. This is from Greg Z123. He wants to know, does Guy still work in a law firm, or what does he do now?
I didn't work at a law firm. I worked I did finance. I was doing mortgages, I wasn't a broker. I was working for HSBC. And in March of 09, shortly after I turned pro, I got a phone call I went into work. One day our computers were locked. I was with the company for almost 4 years. Didn't know what was going on. We thought that just the computers were down. We got a phone call. We had a conference call at 2 o'clock. We had a nationwide conference call, and they closed down every office in the U.S. and let go of 6,000 employees. So right now, all I do is I substitute teach at high school, and I personal train. And that's how I'm making my living now, because I can't, you know, it's hard. I've been on a couple job interviews. I've been the recruiters. But, you know, the job industry now, everybody wants, it's commission only. I don't have time for commission only. I don't have time to build a clientele. Like, you know, me and my fiance are looking for a house. We're doing this. We're doing that. I can't really stop substitute teaching and personal training for a job where I'm not guaranteed a salary.
What do you think, Guy? What do you think with the students? You teach at a high school, isn't that right?
Yeah, I teach. I taught at about three different high schools this year on a consistent basis.
What do the kids think of you?
A lot of the students are intimidated until they actually – like a lot of students now, like when I go in, it's always, hi, Mr. C, what's going on? Because I'm very nice to the kids. You know, my big thing in school when I mean, call me a nerd or not, but if I ever got a detention, my dad would have whooped my ass. You know, that's how I was brought up. I never got a detention my entire life in high school because I was just scared. I was scared shitless of my dad, plain and simple. I'm still scared of my dad. So, you know, the one thing with the kids, my first day, whatever school I worked in, you know, I told them, I'm like, it's my classroom. You don't speak unless I call on you. and you know, you respect me and you respect your peers. I go, if you guys can do that, then we'll get along the whole year. And I've never had to kick a kid out of class. They're very respectful. You know, they always ask questions, or you know, are you a wrestler, or you know, what do you bench? You know, you always get the class clowns asking, you know, funny questions. But honestly, I love teaching. I can do it. I can do it 365 days a year.
Well, that's cool. Let's see. The same gentleman wants to know: would you ever consider working with Dave Plumbo again?
I can't really say no. I mean, he led me to a couple victories, and you know, obviously my pro card. And you know, I can't say I would never work with Dave again. I mean, that would be ignorant of me to say. Right now, am I very happy with Neil? Yeah. Do I think I'm going to go anywhere in the near future as far as working with somebody else? No, because Neil has done a lot for me, and you know, has brought me a long way since 2008. And I think mine and Neil's relationship is going to be a long-lasting one. But, you know, if down the line, if something happens or, you know, me and Neil break ties, would I ever consider going back to Dave? Yeah, I don't see why not.
Another listener wants to know, I follow MD.com, and I see all these threads about you signing with MD. What do you think when you read these threads, and do you think they will soon sign you?
Do they sign me? No, probably not. It's overwhelming. You know, I'm glad people think that, I should, get signed with MD. Would that be all? That'd be great. That would be, you know, surreal for me to be signed with, you know, MD. I don't have a supplement contract, so even to get a supplement contract with somebody would be great. The reason why I don't, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, Muscular Development and any other, you know, supplement company or magazine company. It's about business. It's about fans. Do I think I have a big fan base? Yeah. Are there people that out there that probably don't like me? Probably, yeah. There's people that hate you, and there's people that love you. But at the end of the day, never done a pro show. I'm not a mass monster. You know, the only thing I have to bring to the table is I'm a nice guy. I got a good fan base. So as a business standpoint, if MD didn't sign me, can I say, you know, oh, my God, you know, that's messed up? No, because I understand. Down the line, if I start doing well and I start, you know, doing good at shows and, you know, build a bigger fan base and stuff like that, then, you know, I would be more willing to just try to pursue, you know, a contract with a magazine company. But you know, until that time comes, I'm just, you know, kind of just taking day by day.
We talked earlier about this guy with the supplement contracts.
Yeah.
You said you haven't really pursued it. Now, why is that?
You yelled at me about this.
I think you have a lot to offer, man, because you're good. You not just you have a fan base, but you speak well, and you could promote the product well, you know?
Yeah. It's not really I haven't pursued it. But you know what it is? Like, it's kind of hard to say, man. I've never been one to ask for anything. You know, if I wanted a starter on the high school football team, you know, to play college football. Yeah, I never asked, coach, can I play? Coach, can I do this? So, yeah, it's kind of probably arrogant of me to say, but I don't want to have to ask for something. I want somebody to approach me and talk to me because, you know, of how I did or how I look or, you know, they think I would be a good asset to a company. I don't want to be one of those guys that'd be like, you know, get on my knee, be like, please give me a supplement contract. You know, I want it so bad. No, so I.
You don't do that, Kai. You don't do that, guy. You have to sell yourself.
No, you know what it is. I told myself that after my show, you know, and depending upon how I place and how I look, you know, because most companies, Aaron. I mean, you know, a lot of them don't sign amateurs, and if they do, they sign. You know, they don't sign a welterweight. I don't know any middleweights that actually have a contract with anybody.
Right.
So after my pro debut.
How do you mean you don't have any middleweight? You mean middleweight amateurs? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's why I'm still technically. I mean, not that I'm an amateur, but I haven't made my pro debut yet, so nobody really even. Some people might not even consider me. I mean, yeah, I'm a pro as far as you know earning my pro card, but as far as competing as a pro, I don't have a record.
Right. Okay.
So you know, I told myself after I compete, and depending upon how I do, then I will start pursuing, you know, supplement companies and sending out resumes. I mean, I talk to people. I've talked to. You know, a couple companies and shot back and forth, and you know, Robbie Duran at MD, you know, we've talked back and forth. He even said, he goes, you know, Steve even agrees that, you know, after your pro debut is probably going to be when more supplement companies and more, you know, other opportunities present themselves, because if you do well, you know, that's what companies and that's what magazine companies want. They want you to do well. They want you to promote their supplement line or their magazine line, you know, as somebody who can do well in the sport. So, I mean, I can't blame them.
Yeah, well, that's true, and I can understand that. But once you do get a pro debut, definitely aggressively go out there and look, because you got to understand, almost never are these guys going to come to you.
Yeah.
Unless you win the 202 showdown or something, you know, even if you win a show, they might not come to you. You might need to go to them.
Yeah.
And you know when you'll learn not to have any problem going to them? Once you have children.
When?
Why is that?
When you have children. Because when you have children, you put all your pride aside and you do things that are...
Thanks, Carl. Because now if my fiance hears that, that's the last thing I got to hear. Thanks.
I'm just telling you. You know what? I'm being honest. There were a lot of things...
You're right. No, yeah,
there were a lot of things I wasn't willing to do, but then once you have kids and you have like these... You know, it's easy to starve when you starve by yourself. But when other people are starving because of your approach to life... Then you feel bad about it, and then you go,
yeah.
I have to. Because when you have kids, you'll be. I mean, you look at Andy Hammond. He's out there fucking.
That's who Aaron used today as an example when I talked to him on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, Andy fucking. You know, he doesn't give a shit. He goes.
He did not take no for an answer, and now he has four sponsorship contracts. I would say Andy Hammond is making. He's probably making as much money as the top 10 guys in the sport right now.
All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. We're gonna come back with Guy Cisternino. You're listening to Off Topic.
We got some listener questions for Guy, and then we got some PJ stories.
There we go. Oh, I love PJ stories. Tell me stories about his cat. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, God.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RxMuscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking, and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Off Topic.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you guys were still there.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
But Aaron's gone.
Is this the I Wanna Fuck the song?
Yeah.
No. You know the song I was talking about? The titty song?
Yeah, I like
Twist
that.
Twist my titties. I wanna fuck. Remember that song?
Yeah, Twist My Titties. Just because you think, you think you put your tongue in my mouth, you think we're
gonna fuck. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Good job, Carl.
But I have to wait for it to rotate back in. I don't choose the songs. They just get loaded in before the show now. So
you can't pick that one for next break?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm not a good producer. I'm sorry.
I mean,
I'm also
the producer.
I'm eating right now. Hold on.
I keep switching phones because my battery keeps saying low, so I keep taking one off, putting it on, taking it off, putting it on.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
We thought we were hanging. You're getting hung up on us.
No, if I get cut off, because I got two phones. One beeps and I put it back on the charge. The other one beeps and I'm ripping it
off.
What
the hell kind of shitty phones you got over there, guy?
I'm at my grandfather's because he's in a nursing home.
Oh man!
So this is like the quietest place I get away to.
Yeah.
There's nobody here.
Hey, we got to do a shout out real quick. JL Giller just got home from the hospital. She's not feeling well, and I see that she is listening to the show. So
Carl, stop eating. That's ridiculous.
Wait. You know,
swallow your food and stop.
I'm just about to drink fish oil right out of the bottle. You want to hear it?
That's gross.
Yeah,
no.
You guys talk. I'll do it.
Guys, excuse me, guy. This is from the Big Sexy.
Go ahead, Aaron, real quick, if this for some reason hangs up, just call back. So I got the phone charged.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Okay. And this is a question from you from the Big Sexy. He wants to know, is there anyone in the bodybuilding community that you just don't have the respect for? Any respect for? He wants to know if you could possibly give us a story or perhaps an incident that caused you to lose respect for this person or this athlete or et cetera. And that would be gold, he says.
Oh, man.
Somebody you don't like.
That's a good question, man. Fuck. Now he's got me thinking. I'm like, damn, is there somebody I don't like in the industry?
Yeah.
He's all man, as a bodybuilder?
Come on, guy. There's got to be
I'm thinking. Trust me, I'm blunt. I'm very blunt. I'm like PJ. If I got something to say, I'll say it. I'm trying to think.
Maybe it's PJ you don't like.
No, he's just a pain in the ass.
Ha ha.
PJ's guy is a little bit like his like a little brother that he like, you know, like if you have a little brother that you like to beat up, that's guy, he says.
PJ, yeah, well, PJ sends me these text messages that I know he's like mass texting like a million people. So the other day he calls me. I go, fuck, man, I can't believe I'm getting a call from you. He goes, yeah, but it's not what you think. Can you give me Aaron's number? I was like, okay, thanks, PJ.
That's funny. You know what? I'm not avoiding the question. Just tell him I'm going to think about it while you guys ask me other questions because that's a really good question. I'm really trying to think of something, and I don't know.
You like Sean Ray?
That Sean Ray?
Yeah, you like Sean Ray?
Yeah, I've never had a problem with him. Until he had me in fourth place at Nationals, which when I was watching it afterwards, I was like, what the hell is that about?
Right.
Did you do his radio show?
Sean? I've never done it.
Okay, good, because we would have had a fucking hang up on you.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to really think of somebody that, like, has ever done anything, like, to disrespect me or, you know, piss me off, and if nothing's coming, you know, if you don't like somebody in the sport, it like comes right to you. Like I can't. I mean, there's guys that compete in gyms that I really don't know that I would like to just, you know, knock their heads off, but I don't know their names. So
how about anybody on the message boards that you don't like or don't have any respect for?
honestly. I know PJ can name off every single avatar and everybody's name on the boards. I probably can name five.
And none of those ones that you can name, you can't think of any ones that
no,
you don't like?
No, I'm talking about just five I can name, just period, not even that I like or don't like. Just nobody really, bashes me because I never really argue with anybody. If somebody has an opinion, I mean, people bash me when I won nationals saying I looked like shit and I was too skinny and I had no muscle on me.
And you don't remember any of those people's names?
No, this was a year, just 2 years ago.
PJ,
I'm not being like, oh, I'm too good. I really don't like. I read the threads, but I don't pay attention to like who, says it. I just, I read what they write and I'll just comment back.
Right. Well,
I hope that's a good thing, at least.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Well, let's do some PJ stories. You and PJ worked in a bar together, or was it a nightclub or a bar?
No, it was a club. It was a club. It was a club.
And PJ's prepared for you to tell him. You can tell. Actually, they don't have to be PJ stories. You can tell us anything about working at this club or any interesting stories. I know you have a few ready.
I got some brutal. Some brutal stuff. I'm sorry. I keep switching the
these
phone.
These batteries are getting. I mean, the period in between switches is getting shorter
worse.
And shorter. Yeah.
I know. Well, because one's beeping and I got to put it back like every 3 minutes so I can pick it up and change it or I'm gonna hang up.
There's no landline phone in the house that you can go to.
I'm on it. Yeah, they're portable phones.
No, but I mean, there's no hardline phone that doesn't have a battery that's just plugged into a wall somewhere.
No.
Oh man.
And you think I'm at my grandpa's? There'd be like a rotary phone here.
Yeah. Right.
No, I'm looking. There's one. There's only two phones. One, two. I'm like walking all over the house to look.
All right.
I bounced at a club for. Oh, actually, there is. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that! I found one.
Bingo.
See that?
Much better, too. Much
That's
better.
Money, bro. Hold on. Let me just untangle this fucking cord. All right. How's that?
All right. So let's talk about the bouncing and the nightclub there.
PJ, let me tell you something. When people are like, oh, I've been, I'm a fighter. I've been in so many fights. Like, I'm not saying I'm a fighter. I do have a pretty short fuse. But if I never got in another fight in my entire life, I wouldn't care because I've been in so many. I worked there for about almost 3 years, and there wasn't a weekend that went by where there wasn't myself on a one-on-one or me and the other bouncers in a complete brawl. There was I'm trying to think of like a really, really funny one with PJ.
PJ told me a story about how he had to save you because you were getting your ass kicked by a seven-foot-tall guy.
Yeah, just like when the girl puked on me like we talked about today.
Yeah, he also told me a story about how you were making out with this girl, and she had to stop making out with you to throw up all over you.
No, you told me that she threw up all over me, and I said that's not how the story went. I said,
right,
I'm
telling you what PJ said, and we discussed it earlier.
Yeah.
Did you get in a fight with a seven-foot-tall guy, and he wrestled you to the ground and started choking you out?
Yeah. I was working my post, and this tall guy, I know everybody that came to the club on a weekly basis. It was always – and this club was a big club. Like, there was only sometimes five bouncers on, and there'd be, like, 350, 400 people there.
Wow.
So, for five bouncers to regulate, that many people, it wasn't easy. So our thing was, if we asked you to leave and you didn't leave, we took force because they didn't do any door checks. Like, nobody got searched. I didn't know what you had on you. If I asked you to leave and you gave me a problem, I grabbed you, and if you resisted, I threw you to the ground, and I got you out however I wanted to get you out. So there's one night I'm working my post, which was right by the bar. I mean, there's all these girls dancing on the bar, and this tall kid bumped into me one time, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! Like, just say, like, I'm working here. I got a big flashlight in my hand. I'm checking bands, and I'm like, whatever. And he walked by me a second time and bumped me even harder. So I'm like, is this
he was
guy
7 feet tall? This kid?
He was close, dude. He was probably one of the tallest guys I've ever seen in person. The third time, I remember, because the third time he bumped into me, not only did he bump into me, he spilled, and like, we wore like really, me, PJ, like whoever worked there, we all wore like tight black, like Under Armour shirts, not because we wanted to look big, but it's very hard to, like, if you get in a fisticuff with somebody, it's really hard to grab like an Under Armour shirt and get a grip of it, so they really didn't have a lot of cloth to grab. And he bumped into me and he spilled his drink all over me. And I remember saying in my head, I go, I'm going to give him 3 seconds to say sorry, or I'm going to freak out. I remember sitting there going, one, two, three, and he didn't say anything, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around, and I launched him across the bar, and he, like, fell down. So I ran over to pick him up because, like, I was just so pissed off, and he was so tall that he had me in a headlock sitting down with his arms actually interlocked because that's how tall he was. And I'm bent over and he's got me in a headlock and I'm literally like squatting up and slamming him down to try to get him off me and he wouldn't get off me. So our buddy Phil started punching him in the ribs because he wouldn't let go of me. And then I hear Phil go, PJ, fuck this guy up. So finally PJ comes over, me and the guy lets go of me. And then there was another set of stairs. So I threw the guy down the stairs. So now me and the other bouncer are on top of him because this guy was just swinging and his friends were getting involved. So as we were like punching him, PJ's trying to like, he's like sitting there aiming, trying to get like, he was like a little kid, like trying to get like a cookie out of a cookie jar. He was like trying to get his like perfect shot in. So he swung and missed and punched one of the bouncers who we were all friends with right in the face. So like in the middle of like the brawl, it was like a violin started playing, and PJ's like, "Oh my God, Mike, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fucking hit you." And then like they just looked at each other, and then like went back to the kid and like his friends. So then PJ, I don't even know where he like left, and like I guess he, I don't know if he thought like the fight was done, but all of a sudden, did you guys ever see Troy when like he jumps and he like punches the guy?
Right.
So PJ jumped off four stairs, like it came out of nowhere. In between me and the guy Mike that he punched, and he had big black boots on, and just kicked this guy square in his face, and blood went completely everywhere. We had to drag that out of the club. The ambulance came. We were all covered in blood. He just booted. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That sounds kind of sick.
It was pretty funny, actually. And then PJ's like, why did you
PJ stories that don't involve extreme violence? How about the girl that you told me he made out with the mustache?
Oh man, you're asking you're trying to get me in trouble.
No, that's okay. This is a long time ago. He wouldn't do this now. He's a different man.
He just has some bad taste sometimes. He was single. He just hooked up. I'm not going to say what she looked like or she was. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. She was just on. I've known every one of PJ's girlfriends and girls he's hooked up with.
Was this a girlfriend? Was this like a girl that he just went out and banged?
No, he didn't. It wasn't even somebody he banged. It was just like,
because he told me a story that I won't say on the air about a girl that he banged, and he like wanted to get out of there once he was there. I don't know if that's what you were talking about.
No.
I know what you're talking about. That's not that.
Yeah, I know that story too. That's not the story.
That's not the story.
And if PJ ever fucking,
if PJ told that story on the air,
I was say if PJ doesn't start calling me to talk to me once in a while, I'm going to tell that fucking story on the air one day.
No, he made out with a girl with a mustache.
Yeah, big deal. Every fucking Italian girl has a mustache. Big deal.
Yeah.
The fuck is that mean? I love facial hair, especially when they get the hair on the side of the face, like where the sideburns.
You probably do like that. You like girls with cellulite.
So I like fucking Italian women. Always have hair, man. What the hell?
That's funny.
You like hair and cellulite.
I love. Yeah, I really have a desire to fuck a fat guy. I think actually. Is what it is.
I think you might.
I got a. Me and PJ have been friends. I've known PJ since 2000 and I think 2001 or 2002. He's saved my ass so many times. I've saved his ass probably more than he's saved, definitely saved mine.
He says, listen, I want to tell this. He was telling me when I was talking today about you, he was saying that that he taught you everything you know.
Yeah.
Started teaching you, you didn't even know how to work out. You knew nothing about bodybuilding. And basically, he's responsible for your pro card.
The only thing PJ is responsible for is his haircut.
It is a very nice haircut, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a perfect flat top. It's like
doesn't he own a Flowbee?
He possibly does.
Isn't that how he does that, with a fucking Flowbee?
He actually goes to a what are they? I wanted to say Cuban haircut place, but it's a
Spanish guy. His name's I used to go to him too when I lived in Connecticut.
He's not Cuban though, is he? He's
no, he's Spanish.
Puerto Rican maybe.
Yeah, Puerto Rican.
No, not Puerto Rican. Or maybe he is Puerto Rican. Maybe
he's Puerto Rican.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's called the flat tops for less is what it's called.
He does. He's the only one I can't, like, even when I have like a full head of hair, because I just shaved my head. he has to gel his hair, and he does it with, like, the blow dryer before he works out. He's got to gel. I'm like, I can't work out with gel. It gets in my eyes. It burns. He has to do his hair before he works out.
PJ does?
Yep. Yeah. PJ has to shower, but if he's got to shower before he works out. He has to do his hair, and he's got to take a dump before he works out, or he can't work out.
Okay, but I'm down with two of those. I have to shower before I work out because it wakes me up because I train very early in the morning.
And okay, well, PJ trains at 5 o'clock.
Oh,
yeah.
I have to take a dump.
He's like me. He doesn't get up and get going until 10.
And I have to take a dump, especially on back or leg day, because I don't want to shit my pants. That's it.
I've been at the gym with PJ when we were training together, and I would sit there and wait like 20 minutes because he's like, I got to shit before I do anything. And I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. And as far as him teaching me everything he knows, I started competing before I knew him, and I know he likes to throw little punches at me, but, you know, in all seriousness, though, you know, PJ, you know, working out with somebody like that, you know, definitely, you know, always pushed me. We were always going pound for pound in the gym, you know, trying to beat each other's reps and weights. And, you know, I definitely learned, you know, a decent amount of, you know, tips from him. And I'm sure, you know, even though he won't admit it, he's definitely picked up some things on me, too. So.
Well, he does blame you for a case of STDs that he has. I know that. He definitely picked that up from you.
He picked those up from you.
From some girl that you guys were gangbanging one night. So. But he's sure that you gave it to her and she gave it to him. He didn't
actually
just get it directly from her.
He said he got it directly from Guy.
Oh, is that what he said? Okay. Oh, man. Hey, we got to take a break here pretty soon. And do you have any other questions for Guy? Or?
No, we can. It was fun, Guy, and we'll definitely have you back on.
It was fun, Guy. Not fungus, fun guy. Oh,
I'm sure you get that a lot, huh, Guy?
Huh? Yeah, Guy.
Like, Guy,
I got
nice
it all.
Guy.
I got it all.
Yeah, we'll have to come to Jersey and hang out with you guys sometime.
Hey, man, anytime.
I want to go to the Red Rooster and Brewster.
You know what you should do, Carl, is you should come to the Connecticut show, and I'm sure we could find you a place to stay. It'll be fun.
Okay, I can do it. I got a line on some buddy passes at Southwest that I can grab pretty cheap, so I can do some flying.
Okay.
As long as I have some place to crash, because you know how meticulous I am about how I eat and the way I live, so you know.
Like Guy, right?
There you go.
Everything has to be very clean.
Treasure.
Oh yeah. I always take my underwear and leave them on the floor after the gym.
Well, don't room with PJ because he doesn't wear any.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Listen, PJ stayed at my house when he came for the Phoenix Pro, right? So I had to put him on a Castro convertible in the living room. I got an 85-year-old mother that I'm living with. So my mother, you know, she's like every other 85-year-old. They get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. They want to start cleaning the fucking house. And PJ's under the covers naked. And my mother's like moving around the house. So PJ told me like she didn't
came
know.
Up and questioned him.
Yeah, she didn't know who he was. She didn't know who she goes, Carl, who is that? She goes, so he's awake, but he doesn't say anything because he doesn't want to like have to get into a conversation with
her. He was dreading that she would lift up the sheets to see who it was.
Yeah, yeah.
He's lucky. You're lucky he didn't take a Cialis and have a water bottle in his hand. Ask him about that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he told that story. You should have told that one. He also said something about his grandmother catching you naked. Shaving your whole body when you were staying at his grandmother's house.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
No?
I'm being dead serious. Me?
Yeah, he said you were up at night shaving your body, and his grandmother walked in and saw you.
Well, maybe Guy doesn't know the grandmother saw him.
Maybe your grandmother doesn't
maybe,
know.
Apparently, I don't know that story. Maybe his grandmother saw me. I didn't even know about
this
it.
This may be the first he's hearing about.
Jose Raymond wanted me to ask you, why is it that people say that you're
76%
gay?
Because I went to Jose's. This had to be like 8 months ago. And me and my fiance went up to visit him, and we got there. He was drinking by the time I got there. He was bombed, and I opened.
It doesn't take a lot for him to be bombed.
And I opened his fridge, and I'm like, he had cold cuts and hot dogs and booze in his fridge. I go, are you kidding me? He goes, yeah, bro, this is good. And I'm like, let's go to the store and get food. So we went to the store to get food, and we're like waiting online, and he's hammered talking to the lady checking us out, and he's like, I don't know how the word gay or homosexual came up. But he looked at the lady and he's like, well, we're not 100% gay. He's like, we're only 76% gay. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this kid's out of his fucking
mind. Did she ask for an explanation what 76, what constitutes 76% gay?
No, he said that we were 76%.
I understand,
gay.
But did she then say, well, what makes you just 76% gay?
If she said anything, I don't know, because I walked my ass right away.
they just do oral, Carl.
Yeah, there you go. 76% gay. Oh, man. Okay.
All right. I know it's break time. Guy, thank you very much for coming on, and we'll definitely have you back on in the future, maybe before the show, definitely after the show. That's for sure.
Absolutely, guys.
Hey, hey Guy, are you Calabrese?
Yes, sir.
I knew it.
Calabrese.
I knew it. Capatos, brother like me. Yep. We're both Calabrese. Okay, good. We'll hang out.
Absolutely.
All right, listen. Take care of yourself. Good luck. Stay in touch. Right when you get work, okay?
You got it, guys.
All right.
I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Guy.
All right, stay tuned, and when we come back, we will have Kurt James on. I know everybody's waiting with bated breath to hear Kurt speak. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get your today and join the LG Sciences Uprising. Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@Hotmail.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Off Topic. Our guest this hour is Kurt James, known on the board as Kurt James. How you doing, Kurt James?
Good. Very good. How you doing, Carl?
Good, man.
Hey, Kurt.
What's up, Aaron?
Aaron, I thought you weren't going to be here.
No, well, you're in charge, but
no, but you said you messaged me that you were going to go take a dump.
Oh, well, I can hold it for a minute.
Okay. Oh, I just want to make sure.
It's turtling, as they say.
Ah, yeah, right. You're getting all emotional. Hey, listen, Kurt, everybody has warned us that you were going to correct our grammar tonight if we did this interview. Is that true?
No, they're wrong. I posted something up on the thread
It's, I have nothing to do with grammar. I don't know anything about grammar. It's spelling's my thing.
Now, why is spelling your thing? Are you an academician? Are you an educator? Where'd that come from?
Well, I do teach, but I was a Navy journalist for 5 years, and I was a proofreader for several years. And it's just I love to read, and so especially if somebody's being a jerk, it's just something you nitpick at people.
So you were a journalist in the Navy, you said?
Yeah, for five years.
So what kind of stories did you cover as a journalist for the Navy?
You know what? I was on a destroyer, 300 people on the ship, and it was mostly personality features. We did have we had Admiral McCauley at the time. He came on board the ship. I got a photo of him with the captain and just a deep caption just saying, you know, this is the captain of our ship, and Admiral McCauley, the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, came on board. It was a lot of photos of personalities, photos of people reenlisting. And then a lot of clerical work, but
so almost like the kind of newsletter that would come out of a human resources department at a small company, in other words.
Pretty much.
And so, were you the sole reporter, or was this paper manned by numerous people?
I would submit articles to the base newspaper. I was the only journalist on the ship, and so and like any sailor, there were a ton of collateral duties. Everybody had about a million things to do on board the ship, so.
Now, let me ask you a question. I mean, I've never served. Aaron, you've never served, right? You've never done that?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
I kind of wish I would have if I could have gone back and taken some of those bad years and replaced them with 4 years in the military. It would have been good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they keep bumping up the enlistment age, so I'm sure you could probably,
Yeah, at this point, I think I'm happy with what I'm doing, Kurt.
But my question is this: you know, we've all heard stories about, you know, sailors, wayward sailors on these ships for long periods of time, and there's always been this implication that there's like a little soirees that take place in guys' bunks and stuff like that, and there's a little homosexual behavior that seems to be.
Aren't there women on these boats now, Carl?
Are there? That's a good question.
Well, I don't know. I got out in 1988, so. There may be. It might be co-ed now. I don't know.
But back in the day, did guys who just the way there appears to be almost a magnet-like pull for men to become priests who are really secretly pedophiles? Is there a magic pull to the Navy for guys who tend to have homosexual tendencies?
That wasn't one of the recruiting tools that they used for me. They didn't say, "Hey, we have."
As a journalist, you know, you've got your eyes and ears peeled, and you're always looking for a good story. Did you ever witness like somebody coming out of somebody else's bunk room, you know, at an inappropriate hour, going, "Gee, when was
fortunately
covered
I,
with
I
jizz."
Fortunately, I never witnessed anything like that.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay.
Of course, they have. I'm sure they have homosexuality in all populations, so I'm sure the Navy's got its share.
Not in the fucking Marines, motherfucker! No, I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. Probably more fucking gays in the Marines than any place else. They're attracted to the leather. But anyway, So now, did you saw active tour of duty?
83 to 88, I was in the military, but. The worst that happened was the Marine Corps barracks was hit when I was in. But I was on a destroyer, and we went on 2 6-month tours overseas. So I got to hit the Mediterranean and the North Atlantic. But
very cool.
I never saw anything like Desert Storm or any of that. That was after my time.
Now, when you're on a destroyer, do you get to dock and land at like in Italy and different places?
Oh, definitely. It was like 18 different ports. I've been to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. We spent a month in Haifa, Israel, a month in Portsmouth, England, so a couple of trips to London. I got a trip to Paris. We took a bus trip, a bunch of sailors. So we did get some time off. Most of it was like, 2 days, and then you get off at the ship and you go straight to a bar. But we did get to do some cultural things, but it was mostly 20-year-old kids going out and getting drunk and chasing.
Were the women most appreciative of American sailors?
Well, I think England, I think Portsmouth, but then I was there for a month, but then we got to stop in Amsterdam, and that was good. Lisbon, Portugal was very good, but every country was.
How was Haifa? How was Israel?
Oh, you know what? Israel was wonderful. I got to visit Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and just it was just a.
Did you get some? Did you get some Masada by any chance?
You know, I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
That's the mountaintop fortress that King Herod built. That the Maccabees took over. The Zealots took over. Then you know started the whole.
Well, also that's where they all killed themselves.
Well, that's what I mean. The Zealots, they did a mass suicide not to be captured by the Romans. So, yeah, but no. It's an amazing place. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to deviate about anything Jewish for Overlord out there because I know he doesn't want to talk about you. So most of the countries you went to, the women were they liked American sailors or were they?
I think the people were you know grateful. You know, there was a lot of money that comes in from the sailors and but then again, you know, it's we're talking 88, so it's a long time ago. My memory's colored by a mass quantities of alcohol they did have protests, but nothing that was there was no violence while I was in my experience. I had a really good time in the military.
Well, you married? You weren't married at the time, right?
No, 20. I was 20 years old, just a kid in the military, just just having a good time.
So you liked the UK? Did you bang some UK girls while you were there?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, elementary school teacher. So basically, I'm not going to touch the subject of sex. We talked about homosexuality. I listened to you, but I'm.
Oh,
not
wait! You're an elementary school teacher now?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Our teacher. Right?
I didn't know that.
So for any listeners out there, Mr. James doesn't know anything about sex at all.
There you go. And there's quite a few women that will concur with that, actually.
all three of my ex-girlfriends would
agree to that.
I
was actually interested to find out if you had hooked up with any women from the UK because I was just curious. You know, there's a lot of rumors. I've been to the UK twice, and there's a lot of rumors that, you know, a lot of the women in the UK have, like, snaggletooth kind of smiles. And I was just wondering if you had a uncomfortable oral pleasure by any chance from a woman in the UK with a snaggletooth smile.
I'm not going to malign any snaggletooth women. God bless them.
Okay. Hey, listen, if you can get her to go for false teeth, there's nothing like a woman who could take her teeth out for you. I'm telling you that right now. I've hung around plenty of senior citizen places.
Hoping to get one of these.
Hey, Mabel, how about taking your teeth out for me?
You're gross.
My stomping grounds right now. I'll be 48, so I'm hitting the senior centers.
How old are you?
I'll be 48, so in August. So yeah. we're hitting the senior centers.
I'll be 52. Or, yeah, I'll be 52 next week. I've already gotten contacted by ARP several times.
Oh, I've been getting stuff from them since I was 45. They sent me.
You know what's amazing? AARP can find anybody once they turn 50. How old is fucking Osama bin Laden? AARP hasn't found that fucking guy yet. They haven't sent him his card yet. You know, hey, it's time for you to get the fucking card. I mean, for crying out loud, they just need to ask AARP where Osama is. They probably know.
Homeland Security just hasn't contacted them yet. They've got them on the newsletter.
There you go. So how is that teaching? You like how old are the kids that you teach?
I teach anywhere from 3-year-olds. We have preschool students up to sixth grade. So the kids are great.
You teach art? You teach art, you said?
Yes, sir.
Now, what do you 3-year-old kids? Were you teaching them to do like make designs with their feces and stuff like that? And you know, no.
No, they take care of that in the class.
Oh,
the
okay.
Ladies have to take care of the kids. Although I have had kindergartners pee themselves, so I've had projectile vomiting. I can talk about that. You know, the teachers that don't want to take their kids to the nurse's office before they bring them to art, and the one kid just came running at me and just kind of stepped out of the way, Matrix style, and the stream of Exorcist-like vomit just came flying in my direction. So yeah, it's children and they get sick and they, in the morning we have breakfast and, so you got kids with syrup from the top of their heads down to the bottom of their feet.
Do you teach at a private school or a public school?
It's public school, oh. Inner city. It's definitely a great job.
I was just going to say, you do it because you really like working with the kids. You hope to maybe have a couple Picassos and Monets spring out of your legion someday?
Well, you know, we've got some really talented children, definitely. We've always got a handful who can reproduce, can draw an image that just looks exactly like a photograph. It's just perfect. And then all the children love to to draw, and I encourage, you know, no matter if it's photorealistic or if it's just, you know, scribbling, just try to encourage every child to love the subject. That's my goal.
By the way, Tight Booty said that she has a thing for teachers. Did you know that?
I missed her in New York a couple of years ago, so I missed my chance there.
There but, you go. We've all missed her some in one way or another. Anyway,
Karen's wonderful. God bless her.
Yes, she's gorgeous. Anyway,
I have some listener questions.
I was going to ask one. TPT wanted to know how you got involved in the bodybuilding communities and forums.
You know what? I'm pretty sure it was a Google search, and I stumbled across a place called Body Space. It's kind of like a musclehead MySpace. From bodybuilding.com, and from there I went to MD courtesy of Ron Harris. I was reading some of his articles at MD, and he had his thread that he advertised in his on his website, and that led me to MD, which led me to Noble Radio, and then I followed John and Dave to RX when they started up the RX site. But
Goddess Amazon wants to know, how many bodybuilding forums are you currently active on? By the way, Goddess Amazon now lives in Germany, I believe, so she'll be listening to the show tomorrow on the podcast.
Yep, I knew that. Yep, she's wonderful, and I think I answered that in the thread. People can go back and read the thread, so
No. This is
up.
A fucking radio show, Kurt. The fucking
I told them not to do that.
CNN doesn't say you can read it in tomorrow's newspaper. They give you the news now. Yeah. How many bodybuilding forums are you currently active on? Estimate, 10, 25, 3?
Well, I probably have accounts on 20, but I'm active on 3 or 4.
Okay.
RX Muscle has to be the top one that I participate on, and Iron Magazine is an up-and-coming. I really enjoy that site, ironmagazine.com. And then, of course, MD. I'm on MD and bodybuilding.com. So I think those are the major ones. But RX and Iron Magazine would probably be the top two. Love both of those sites.
Do you have a favorite female bodybuilder?
You know what? Dawn Noni. She is a figure competitor, and she is an athlete that's battling against multiple sclerosis.
Oh, wow.
And she is just a role model for anyone who thinks that they can't achieve something. And if, you know, you say it's CNN, but please go back in the thread and check out. I got photos of her up and a link to her page. She's just an inspiration. Of course, you know, there are pro bodybuilders, female bodybuilders that you love. Debbie Bramwell, we got right here on RX Muscle, and Anna Cadeau, you know, big fan of them. My favorite, I'm going to definitely cast my vote for Dawn Noni. Check out her website.
Do you have a tattoo on your penis? Why is Goddess Amazon even asking that?
Well, you know what? No, I've got 3 tattoos, but I'm on each of
your penises. I understand. Okay.
I don't even have one. No, they take elementary school teachers have no secondary sexual characteristics.
There you go. You know what? In this day and age, brother, that's actually a good fucking thing to say.
They don't exist.
Aaron, you want to jump in here? I'm sorry, I'm hogging all the airtime.
Yes, I'm very upset.
Okay, that's enough, Aaron. So let me ask you another question. I'm fucking with that. Aaron wanted me to lead the interview tonight. I'm not going to give him a fucking chance to even talk now.
Bastard. I did enough with Guy. You barely said anything.
Yeah, I know.
Except for your comments on locations.
Italian women.
Which,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You love. Yeah. Whenever somebody mentions a location, you know something about
name
it.
Name a fucking country. I've been there. Okay, go ahead.
Seriously. Or a city or
a lot.
A
lot. A lot. I've been around the globe. Anyway, go ahead.
Kurt, I'm going to read you this guy's question here. You had your fair share of haters over the years. Was there ever a time somebody really got to you, annoyed you to the point that it affected you?
Yeah, never. I've had a lot of fun, and I have stayed up late. I have stayed up late past my bedtime to participate in discussions and to argue with people, but nobody's ever rattled me. It's entertaining. It gets your pulse going. You get into a heated conversation, and it's kind of like a game of chess. You see who gets ticked off the best, and it's a great avenue for cathartic or just to get stuff off your chest. It's a misplaced aggression. If you're angry about something, you can come home and get into a battle with somebody like Leave One. and go at each other.
Leave one and Klaus Jurek.
I don't know how gratifying that would be because you'll probably usually lose with leave one.
I was just going to say, leave one and Klaus Jurek. GX has pointed out a question. He wanted to know, why did you let leave one and West slash Klaus Jurek get you so undone during the days of the pit? Did you really become undone with those guys, you know, fighting with them?
Right. I wouldn't say no. I would say no. Again, it's opinion, but, you know, they both took their shots, and, you know, they're not on this site anymore. You know, Leave One is a great writer. I've always respected his writing, enjoy his posts, disagree with him on a lot of stuff, but he's not here anymore. And, you know, one thing that that I really liked was Swede at one point said that I can take a lot of hate. And, you know, I don't even know if it's hate. I think it's just people, like anyone, that misplaced aggression. They're angry about something. A lot of them are anonymous. You've got to leave one. You've got somebody whose name is Klaus Jurek. It's not Klaus Jurek. His name, he went by West for a time. He's really a nice guy. But we got into a little bit of a disagreement over a game on the board. And so it just went downhill from there. But they're anonymous. I think either they enjoy the debate. They enjoy the hate. You know, just arguing. You know, I don't see it as something to get undone over. And I don't consider that I was even raised the blood pressure. I sit here smiling and laughing about the things that are said, and it's not something that that I'm. I think I wrote down that I cried myself to sleep every night, and that's, you know, it's definitely a joke.
How about Derek Anthony? It seemed like you were a fan of Derek Anthony for a while. Are you still?
You know what, Derek's, I think Derek is actually a good guy. Now, Ms. Guns is someplace on her cruise, and if she gets a wind of this, if she hears the podcast, she's not going to agree with that. And he's threatened to skin me alive. He's called her racist, you know, remarks.
Right.
Just made terrible comments to everybody and pissed everybody off. He's off of the board now for his you know, the way he treats people. You know, I don't know if I'd call myself a fan, but I listened to his new show on Blog Talk Radio. He's got a show on there, and I've listened to that. He's got some, you know, some decent guests, and it's entertaining. You know, but I wouldn't call myself a fan. Definitely not.
When did you get both of your ears pierced? I mean, you're around my age, and it was very popular to get your left ear pierced when we were young. When did you end up getting the second ear pierced? Did you get them both pierced at the same time?
No, you're right. You're right. When we were young, you'll be 52, I'll be 40. We're in this, right there in the same age group. And I had to check before I got my ear pierced.
Right, because remember the right one was gay, right? If you right one when you're the gay ear.
Yeah,
the gay ear.
But, yeah, I think the first time I got a pierce was when I graduated from college. I went straight to the mall and got it done at a Pearson Pagoda. But then, years later I went and I got them both, I started dating a girl who was into piercing and tattoos and then, you know, I started getting pierced like that. But then, 2002, I got them punched. I got them punched at 2 gauge. Both earlobes punched at 2 gauge.
They
must have hurt like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it did, and I was bleeding like crazy. I actually typed into a board, you know, about the problem. I thought I was going to bleed to death from a hole in my ear, you know.
Right.
Don't
they usually do it like that, Kurt? Do they like stretch it open until it gets that big?
Well, this they took a chunk out. It was 2 gauge. Honestly, I don't even know.
I got to tell you something. I think that.
I didn't look for months.
When you get it gauged, the gauging that they use, the needle is like a straw with a razor.
Oh, I know.
I don't think they punched the hole. Like if you go for a 2 gauge, they may have started with a smaller hole and then they put a large plug in it that actually stretches the earlobe out. I don't think they take that whole big chunk of earlobe out.
You know, I got the piercer on my Facebook. I'll have to ask him and I'll send you a PM.
Okay.
I hope not, because Benoit Pierre has a 00 in his penis.
Yes.
Imagine if they took a chunk out of his fucking dick.
On both ears, but I'm not touching the.
As you said before, you don't have a penis anyway, so you can't pierce it.
That's true. When I retire, they return it. I'm told.
Kurt, over the total time you've spent on the boards, how many total posts do you think you have? Your total post count?
I got. I checked today when I read the thread. It was 14. I've got like 14,000 on RX, 12,000 on MD. About 1,000, or close to 1,500 on Iron Magazine. So I'm an art teacher, not a math teacher. Don't ask me to add it up.
You got like 4,000 on bodybuilding.com.
Yeah. Closing in on five grand on there too. Yep. Yeah.
So you're getting close to in the 40,000 to 50,000 range.
But nothing compared to George Foreman Rules. I think he's got 100,000 posts.
He's got 50,000 just on MD, doesn't he?
He's got a ton.
He was supposed to come on the show, but now he's not willing to do it anymore. So,
well, you know what? He'll hear me embarrass myself, and then he'll follow suit.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't think it's because he's worried about embarrassing himself. I think that he.
I think that has something to do with it.
You really think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he can come on and prove me wrong, but I think that has a little bit to do with it. Yeah.
I thought maybe he felt that he was too good for us because of all the
posts. No. He wanted to do it. It's like he said he wanted to do it. He was excited to do it. And then he told me he couldn't do it on that day. He'd have to do it all the way in like, I think in the end of May when his school got out or something. And
yeah, he's going.
I mean, not for nothing.
What is that, Kurt?
He's going to training. I believe he's doing training through the Army. But,
something like that. He said he had to finish
As a matter of fact, I remember when he went for like boot camp or whatever, he was off the boards for quite a while. I remember that.
Isn't he old to be doing boot camp? Isn't
well, whatever training he was in. But, I mean, I remember he was off the boards for a while.
They are bumping the age up.
You know,
40?
Not that old.
Any fucking guy that can.
I think he was like 39. I think he just met the cutoff.
Oh.
Any guy that could fucking log those kind of hours on boards can spend the fucking hour on the show.
I mean, too busy, Carl. Too busy.
I mean, too busy what? Correcting his posts? What's he too busy doing?
I don't know.
I hope he comes on sometimes because I've always found him very humorous and especially when he's drinking. I mean, he fucking cuts right to the core with a lot of people. So.
Kurt, what board do you like better? What's your favorite board? Is RX your favorite?
Yeah, I spent most of the time on RX, so I'd say that's my favorite. But I do love spending time on Iron Magazine. I gotta pimp them. I gotta promote that site. But
Carl, isn't Iron Magazine a sponsor of your show?
Iron Mag's Kennedy. What's his name? Wait.
You don't even know Carl.
No. He's not a sponsor anymore. He was Iron Mag Labs and Iron Mag.
Correct, yeah.
Iron Magazine. Yeah. I can't think of his name. Nice guy. He's actually thinking about coming back to Superhuman Radio. I spoke to him via.
Tell him off topic too.
Robert DiMaggio.
Yeah, Robert DiMaggio. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Kurt knows, and he didn't give Kurt anything. Listen to you, Carl.
Oh, this is funny. PTB, he says, Carl, I spoke to the boys, and they voted unanimously to make you an honorary member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Thank you very much for that, PTB. Thank you.
Speaking of that, Kurt, are you single right now?
Yep.
Do you ever hope to get married? I know Carl will tell you not to, but do you ever hope to get married? Because you've not been married, right?
Well, no. Engaged at 20, around 30, and around 40. So maybe around Carl's age, I'll try to torture another woman or get.
So you were engaged twice or three times?
Three times. High school sweetheart, college sweetheart, and then when I was 40, it was a coworker and I. We were together for. So I've been engaged probably longer than most people have been married. I've got at least 10 years under my belt for closer to 15 under the same roof. So that's not something that, but three different women. So
why not finish it off and tie the knot? What happened? Why did it keep getting ending before that happened?
He keeps getting smart.
I think the cumulative. Yeah. I lucked out. I don't know. It has nothing to do with being smart. I think I just lucked out, or the women lucked out.
It's just a number of divorces throughout my family, and I just kind of saw the writing on the wall. And you know, things just don't work out sometimes. Aaron, you know about that a little bit, right?
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
It is painful.
Relationships aren't easy, that's for sure.
You know, you go into it with the best intentions, and sometimes it just doesn't work out.
You know what it is. There is.
You know, I shouldn't have said Aaron. Carl, you've got some experience there too.
But I think the real problem is, and this is something earlier. Like, there's no fucking tolerance. People have no tolerance any longer. There's no fucking tolerance. No one is willing to overlook anything.
That's good, though.
No, it's not good.
It's good. Well, it's good before you get married, because that way you don't get married to somebody that you don't.
Aaron, you don't understand. Remember these words someday. I don't care.
I can overlook all kinds of stuff.
I understand, but a lot of women can't. I don't care who you fucking marry. I don't care if you live with her for 10 years. People change. People do things that they didn't do when you first started dating them and you first started living with them. And if you have a low level of tolerance, you're going to be like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here. There's nobody sticks and stays anywhere anymore.
I don't believe in, I don't think there should be a certain level of tolerance. But if the goal is to get married and live with somebody, you want to make sure that, you've kind of weeded out the problems beforehand.
I don't fucking care. I'm telling you now, I will go to my grave saying this. I don't care what you think you've weeded out. The person that you marry will not be the person that you are with 10 years later, and then again 20 years later, and then again 30 years later. People fucking change. They change. They change all the time. So it doesn't matter if you meet this girl at eHarmony and she fucking scored 100 and you scored 100. Because if she takes that eHarmony test again 3 years or 10 years from then, she's going to supposed to be with a different guy than you. Because everybody.
So what do you suggest, Carl? What's the solution?
Tolerance. Fucking tolerance. Overlooking the shortcomings of other fucking people. Understanding that you have an asshole and it stinks. So don't fucking be judging other people so harshly. That's all.
So are you saying Kurt should have stayed with these women?
Not necessarily. Yeah. Maybe they would have fucking bounced him. I'm saying that I understand his apprehension. I understand where his apprehension comes from, because it ain't the way it used to be anymore. People don't stick around anymore. That's all there is to it. That's
Kurt.
It.
No, you know what? What he said about the people change, that's definitely the truth. That's obvious. All your listeners, anybody that's been in a relationship, can probably identify with that. You know, little ways that don't bother you and big ways sometimes. So, you know, but flexibility is the key. And you know, I'm a romantic, so I'm not writing marriage off to anyone. You know, it's whatever works for people. That's good.
Well, that leads me to Green
will
Machine.
Write it off for you.
Green Machine 23 has a question that actually is a good segue for this. He wants to know, ass or titties? What are you most attracted to?
He doesn't have any preference, Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, he can't.
No,
he can't.
You know what? I'll go with this one. My favorite character in Shrek Forever After. We got the donkey. So there you go.
So you like the ass better? Okay. That's a good answer. And then raw or grilled food?
I believe it's grilled. I would go with grilled.
Yeah.
Do you like sushi?
I've been eating a lot of salads lately. A lot of. Been following a keto, trying to trim down the waistline, so we got the raw lettuce instead of the grilled. There's no grilled lettuce.
48 years old, would you ever consider hormone replacement therapy?
You know what? I had my heavy iron. He told me that I need some extra tests, a couple extra tests, but I got the one just generic test for a guy my age, just for cholesterol and this, you know, the bilirubin, all these different items that, you know, this, Carl.
Right.
I don't know any of it. But it was my testosterone level was something like 597.
That's low, very low. That's very low.
Measuring. Well, it's.
I mean, look, 383 is hypogonadal, and I know for your. That's what doctors say. They'll go to you. Well, for your age.
That's normal. That doesn't mean that's optimal.
That for your age. You know, doctors. If doctors treated oxygen the way they treat hormones, you would go, look, doc, I can't catch my fucking breath. They go, yeah. But that's normal for your age. You'd be like, fuck that, fix me. But when they look at your hormones, they go, oh, matter of fact, I talked about this on my show today. There's some doctor who said that testosterone replacement therapy really isn't that important. He goes, 90% of the 80-year-old men that come to see me have normal testosterone levels. Yeah, normal for an 80-year-old fucking man. Sure, right, they're near 400. That they're almost hypogonadal. Sure, they're normal for an 80-year-old fucking man, but that isn't healthy. Healthy is optimized. Having higher testosterone levels makes men live longer. So
also, it depends on where your testosterone started. You know.
Well, that's true too. You're right.
Where your natural levels are, like my dad, he tested out and he was 650 something. And he's older than you, Carl. He's 59.
Right.
And, you know, I know that he's experiencing some of these symptoms that would lead me to believe that his testosterone is low. And the doctor told him that it's very high for his age.
Yeah, and that doctor is an asshole. That doctor is a fucking asshole.
He said the symptoms don't matter because
that doctor is an asshole. The problem now, your father should fucking run from that guy.
Oh, I told him. I don't think my dad doesn't believe me, though, you know.
Right. Well, let me talk to him.
I'm not anti-hormone replacement therapy or steroids. I think they should legalize steroids for whatever purpose. In fact, I think they should probably legalize if they legalized every drug, I wouldn't go out and shoot heroin.
Right.
But I think that hormone replacement has its place. I don't have any symptoms. I don't have any problems that I would... and if, as far as aesthetically goes, I'm not interested in for that. I'm pleased with the you know, physique that I have. Of course, everybody wants to look like Arnold in the 70s, but that's out of my. I don't have the bone structure. I've got the inverted. Tony Freeman's got the X-Man. I've got the shoulders as wide as my neck, and then the hips out to, you know, kind of like the upside down Tony Freeman. It's a terrible bone structure for aesthetic. So I don't need to take steroids for the aesthetic purposes, because really I can't see it really improving on my bone structure. That's something that's not going to happen. And you know, if I go from, say, benching 200 to 225 using, you know, or 250, you know, it's really,
yeah, but see, you're missing the point. The importance of testosterone is not that. The importance of testosterone is profound when it staves off age-related disease, especially neurological diseases. Men develop neurological diseases at a much higher rate than women once they go through menopause. Andropause. When men's testosterone levels start to dip, that's when they develop multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and so on and so forth. I you know what? Every
well,
time.
Carl, what is that cutoff? Because I said I'm about 600, 590. What is that cutoff?
Testosterone levels pretty close to between 11 and 1400, which most doctors will say 1100 is the top end of the scale and that I shouldn't go higher than that. But I feel really good when my testosterone levels are around 1400 nanograms a deciliter. And I can tell you that I can sense a difference when I start going back down again. And so
that would be interesting to get like a counter, just to double, just actually see what the difference is, to experience, you know, if you're at 6,
well,
about
let me tell you this. In October of 2007, when I started hormone replacement therapy, the analogy that I used for everybody that I could tell, and I wanted to tell everybody how amazing I felt. I started out with 200 milligrams of testosterone enanthate a week. And I remember by the second week that I was using the testosterone, I remember telling friends, I feel like someone turned the lights back on in my life. I said, you know what it's like? It's like you live in this warehouse that's got 100 light bulbs in it. And every year, one light bulb goes out. And by the time you're 48 years old, half the light bulbs are out. But because it's just one a year, the transition is so gradual. Yeah. And then one day, somebody comes in and puts the 48 light bulb back in, and you go, holy fuck, was it bright like this back then? I can't even, oh my God, this is amazing. I forgot how bright it was in here. I can see everything again. That's all I can tell you. If you try it, I promise you, you will say, I feel better. And so big deal, you're not capitalizing on your genetics. You don't want to change the way. You'll feel better. You'll never develop diabetes. Prostate cancer is not associated with testosterone levels. That's all bullshit. The American Cancer Society published a position paper saying that androgens have nothing to do with prostate cancer. So doctors who are still saying, well, it's risky, you may develop prostate cancer, you can look them in the eye and say, you're fucking wrong. You're obviously not reading the most current literature.
Right, right. And I did read something about, 17-year-olds, their prostates should be exploding because they're at the peak of their testosterone.
And that is exactly my argument. Whenever people come to you and say, oh, you're older, you don't want high testosterone levels like that because you're going to lead to disease. Well, wouldn't
right,
every fucking 21-year-old die of those diseases at 21?
Right.
It's all fucking bullshit. Get your testosterone tested and get on some, whether it's cream or injectable, I mean, do it. I'm telling you, you'll live longer. And look, I'm going to say this and I'm going to drop it. The California VA Medical Center did a longitudinal study over 20 years. I believe it was 16,000 participants. And their conclusion was the men with the lowest testosterone levels died the soonest of all cause mortality, whether it was diabetes, arthritis. All the men who died young or youngest or younger had low testosterone levels. The men with the highest testosterone levels lived the longest. So you fucking take it however you want. I want my testosterone levels high.
Good pitch, Carl. Good pitch.
So there you go.
Yeah, good pitch, Carl. Carl, I want to give a shout out to Adam Rose, UConn Crazy. I just saw you posted up on there.
Cool.
Yeah. How are we doing on time?
We're really over time, so whenever you're ready, you know, whatever you want to do. If you have more questions, ask.
Kurt, is there anything else you want to talk about or mention before we go?
You know what? I want to give a shout out to Ms. Guns, of course. Got to give a shout out, and you know, I'm going to give a big hug to Big Barry. Barry, you know, I think that he helped make me on the boards, and the Big Sexy too. As much as we argued, without him, I don't think half of the people would even know who I am. But he just drilled me on that member of the year contest. Mavs, just a lot of so many people on the board that you develop relationship with, and great friends. Thank you very much, Aaron, for encouraging me to come on the show. And Carl, you guys have a great show, just a fantastic entertaining show. Well, wish you success.
Thank you, Kurt. I told you we wouldn't ambush you. Kurt was worried we were going to ambush him, Carl.
What the fuck can we ambush you about?
Put Big Sexy on here or have Derek Anthony tear him up or something like that, I guess, huh?
Oh, fuck. Come on. You can hang up.
Right. You know, it's like, yeah, I know that. The
Hey, okay. Hey, Kurt, now we got Derek Anthony on. Click. Kurt, you there? Kurt?
I'm
losing the connection. I'm sorry.
Know.
I'm losing. Oh.
Yeah. Could have an ex-girlfriend come on the phone, you know?
Now what you have to do is you have to edit this show so you can have your colleagues listen to it at school.
Yeah. Hey, I got a hypothetical question last minute from the Big Sexy. I'm going to give you a hypothetical, Kurt. He loves these hypothetical questions. Are you ready? It's not an ambush. Don't worry. Okay. You're walking down a cobblestone street and you hear the phrase, you N-word. You turn around and you look and see a group of three larger white dudes surrounding a small black man who appears to be very scared. You happen to be carrying your Glock 9, a handgun, and it's loaded with 14 rounds in the clip and one in the chamber. Do you bust a cap in their white cracker asses, or do you shoot the black dude, or do you shoot yourself?
Can I shoot Big Sexy? Is he an option?
Yes, I think you could if you wanted to.
You know what? I'd probably just shoot a round off in the air. Scaring off the three assailants and rescuing the smaller man, the victim.
Very nice, Kurt. Very nice.
Kind of worried where that round's going to land, but that'd be my option. Like, would get fired.
That's funny. Well, thanks for coming on, Kurt, and we thank you for the comments about the show. We appreciate that.
All right, yes, sir. Have a nice evening.
Okay. Well, yes, stay with us. Stay with us. Don't hang up yet. We also want to thank obviously Kurt James for being brave enough to come on the show. We also want to thank Guy Cisternino for juggling phones from left to right until we found a hardline phone so that he could just sit tight and talk with us. Great guy, Guy. Guy is a great guy, Guy. Fun guy. Anyway, thanks to everybody for listening to the show tonight. Thanks to those of you who are listening and doing cardio right now. And don't fucking stop doing cardio just because the show is over. You still have like another fucking 20 minutes to go, so finish up. Okay? And we'll see everybody next week with another episode of
Off Topic. Talk to you Wednesday, Carl. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll talk to you before then.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, Friday is my birthday, so you can send money via PayPal. Oh, yeah. There we go. We'll start that fucking mess
again.
All right. See everybody next week.
He must be happy. He must be happy in his world. For Nigel, has this future in our British steel. We're only making plans for Nigel. Nigel's whole future.
must be happy. It